utilize the space for what it was, which was a restaurant use. And we did get interest in it, but for a number of reasons, not the least of which was the construction of the existing building and the pilings were compromised, that deal fell through. So having learned something from the parameters of that deal, we redrafted the RFP, again, for a license to conduct a food and beverage operation at the Nyack Village Marina. When it's the village-owned property, you can't do a lease, you can do a license. And the difference between the two is that a license is revocable on behalf of the village, which makes it a bit of more of a risk for somebody who wants to utilize the space. It's not as strong as a lease term, but for the most part, I think they should feel secure in the fact that, you know, if they operate there successfully in compliance with the license agreement, that they're free to go forward. So what this calls for is a 10-year term of a license and 2 5-year options, under the theory that whoever comes in is going to build out the space and the village will own the building in the end, and they need a long enough term to recover their investment. So it does provide for 20 years. It also provides for alternatives. You know, if you want to prove to us what you're going to put into it and how you need to offset your investment, put in alternate terms. It does have an alternative for the marina. If they wanted to manage the marina and the slips in the marina, they could put in a language to that effect. And it also puts in language that even if they don't put in a proposal to operate the marina, that bathrooms that would be accessible to holders of slip permits from the village would be something that the village would evaluate in granting the license. That would be helpful. It does contain certain restrictions on operations that normally you wouldn't see, because it would be a village space and a license. And the main one really is that they would have to close whatever they're doing there at 1 a.m. As opposed to, obviously this place would have a liquor license, and under state law, bars can stay open until 4 o'clock and a municipality can't really control that. But if we're granting the license, we do have an ability to do some extra control. So this RFP is proposed. We had passed a resolution back several months ago, 2019-55, to publish this thing with an opening for Halloween under the idea that it would be 2 months, and we anticipated the building being demolished by the end of August. So really all it did was push the dates back. The RFP could be issued on Monday. Now that the building's down, it would be opened on November 22nd. There would be an on-site supervised access on October 8th. Questions get submitted to the village in writing. We're not answering sort of individual questions. If someone submits a question, we send the answer out to all the bidders. Answers would be on October 22nd. So those timelines will be managed by the administrator. And, hopefully we could get a proposal that the village board would entertain.
And you'd be looking for possible finishing the process by like January 1 to get...
Well, that it calls for the license to start January 1st. So, yes. I mean, if we get it in November, we award it in December, the license would have to be negotiated. Now, there's a form of the license. The license itself is already done. The license agreement, which is very similar to a lease, it's done, but, there could be some back and forth. So, whoever it is, got to be serious about getting into it. So really what I'll be asking for in the regular meeting is just a motion to amend the earlier resolution 2019-55 to authorize a publication of an RFP for solicitation of competitive bids, the construction operation of a restaurant with an opening date of November 22nd, 2019.
Okay. Any questions from the board on this? We've been over it a couple times before.
Glad to see something happening.
Will we be having a public hearing at all, inviting the public to comment on the RFP? I favor? Well, this is definitely on the table.
We did, so there, I think it was Joe that asked for us to consider other options. We can still consider them, even though we put out the RFP. So what I was thinking was to get the RFP out so that it would be working, and then we could do a workshop on it.
Got it.
I've asked several people in, I just spoke with Jim, and there's been nothing that's come up through through any of the committees that we have out there about it. Unless something just fell through, then there were a lot of ideas that we had shared with us. But so I would think that moving this forward just so that we can, because we're a month behind, and then we can do a workshop to see if there's anything better.
That I think is a good way to do it, yeah.
Okay. Any questions from the public? Yes.
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, I appreciate the fact that there would be an opportunity for the public to come and to talk about ideas if they don't look at a restaurant as a ideal solution to the spot. So I think that's great. In terms of the RFP, I'm in business, right, and I look at the return on investment. What are the pilings still there? Have they been removed? Or on what basis can a restaurant owner build a completely brand new building, spend $1 million to $2 million, and expect to get a return on investment in 10, I'm talking about the worst case scenario, in a 10-year period? I mean, it seems a little bit optimistic that you would be able to find a restaurant owner that would be willing to basically invest that amount of money and, you know, look at a return on investment. I mean,
we have to see what's out there, number one, but it's 10-year term, 2 5-year options.
Yeah, but you always take the worst case scenarios, 10 years. Okay, if somebody, the business owner will say, well, I'll have 10 plus 5 plus 5, 20 years, no problem. I mean, he'd be fired from his job as CEO. You have to look at the worst case scenario. The question that I have is, I mean, it might be worthwhile considering doing a, perhaps with the village, a joint venture. If the village wants to take possession of the building at the end of that term, and also this would allow the village to have input into what kind of building goes up. I'm just, I mean, hey, maybe there is somebody out there that's going to say,
who knows?
You know what, I'll work and invest $2 million.
But it also has an alternative. I think the RFP, and even the same thing in the last one, it recognizes that, look, this is a significant investment for Cypress. And if you think you need a different term or some type of variation on 10-5-5, then propose it. I mean, you know, we're not, the idea is to get somebody in there who can succeed.
Yeah, and it's not set, I think it is, it's as Walter said, it's not set in stone, and if you're right, and there's, for some reason, nobody wants to do it, then we'll know that. You know, that we put the request for proposal,
well,
and then
if it
comes out with no proposal,
we don't
get it.
Yeah.
We're not committed to accept anybody's proposal if they propose it and we don't like it.
Yeah, even if someone comes in with something, if we don't like what they're coming in with, or we don't think they're going to be successful, that doesn't mean we have to take it.
Exactly. So basically, the village can refuse any proposal that comes in.
Yeah, it's
something for the low bidder.
Yeah, it's not.
It's a different scenario than like the competitive bidding process that's required under the general municipal law, where you accept the low bid. This is a different ballgame. There could be 100 factors that the village board could consider: the background of people who bid, and there's language in there regarding criminal convictions and history and experience in running restaurants, but just can be rejected for any reason whatsoever.
But as long as this goes concurrent with a public process that we can put, it's no sweat. I mean, either way, find some use for that.
Yeah, we'll have a workshop, so that will be the process. We'll have a workshop, and if people want to come in with other ideas, then we'll obviously listen. We always do. Alan?
Yes, the other question I might ask, you know, I came in a little bit late, and we were in the midst of discussing it. Will this be decoupled from the marina? In other words, will the person operating this, you know, be separate from that of the one operating the marina? Really, there are two different skill sets. So why I ask is because somewhere I read in the newspapers or whatever that they wanted somebody to do both. And I'm saying, gee, they're really two different skill sets. A marina, you kind of need a harbor master, or a marina operator in a restaurant, is a whole different set of skills.
We've had several people come to us wanting to do both. So, I mean, the RFP is going out. We'll see what we get back.
Yeah, see what you get back.
But this is the same. It's actually the parameters for the RFP related to a restaurant and the marina are exactly the same as they were before. Mm-hmm. We, I think, got two people that wanted to do both and one group that only wanted to do the restaurant. And we chose the restaurant the last time around. Mm-hmm. So, we'll see. You may be absolutely right. We may not get anybody for the marina, and we'll have to refigure what we'll do with that.
Right.
Right now, it's sort of operating under a volunteer harbor master.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 70% full, and there's other things that we could do, but and we would look to our Parks Commission to give us some advice if this doesn't work out.
Yeah, that way, that's good to hear. That way, you have flexibility.
Yes.
Just a point that we did do an outreach about 8 years ago.
Jim, a little louder.
We did an outreach, I guess, about 8 years ago to marina operators to see if they wanted to come in and run the marina. And almost without exception, they said there's really no reason without a restaurant in place. So it may be interesting to see when we get back with both the marina and the restaurant, because most marina operators do have some kind of staff bar, concession, restaurant or something. So I think it'll be interesting to see whether or not we get a better response with the restaurant as part of that.
Okay. Any other comments on this? Parking, I sent you all an update on our meeting, but just to let you know, we did meet with them. We do have new software that's been installed on one of the meters, or has it been?
There's more. I pointed that one out. They should be done by the end of the week.
The request from the village was for them to simplify the screens that appear on the parking meters now. There was, I think, five or six screens, and it almost explained to you where the bathrooms were around the corner and how much time you could get and where you could get it, and it took too long to get through. So I was fairly strong in my request saying I want three screens, license plate, pay, receipt, you're out. So I haven't seen it yet because I was busy all day today, but they've redone the software. We're going to see what it looks like, and then we'll move from there. But I didn't think, after I looked at it several times, I didn't think that we needed to explain all our parking regulations on the screens of the parking meters, so we narrowed it down to three.
Is there a delay? One of the problems I saw, there are many problems, but one
problem. Well, no, there are not many problems. That's not true.
Is that if you hesitate?
We added it used to be 15 seconds, now it's 30, and no one's had that problem.
Okay, the people hesitated to, I saw, asking for a receipt, and then they hesitated, they didn't understand where, and then boom, it just went blank.
Well, the first thing it did was it said it almost, you thought the thing blew up the way the screen came up, too. Mm-hmm. And that was changed the first day. But now we added extra time, so it doesn't do that. We have not had any complaints about that since we changed it. Is there anything else that I missed on that?
The receipts are automatic.
Yeah, the receipts will be automatic. So a lot of people are confused because it used to be you had to have the receipt to put on your dash. Everybody was looking for the receipt. So what we've done is the receipts will be automatically given for the first 6 months, and then after people sort of get used to the new system, we'll see if we can get rid of the receipts, because we were trying to not have them laying all over the ground all the time. So, but there, that was one of the confusing things, was everybody was wondering why they didn't get their receipt.
So maybe I haven't seen them. I paid for parking today, so maybe it was on a meter that didn't have the new software in?
Probably not. Okay.
So, but is there the screen that says, do you want a receipt, that's going to be gone?
Okay.
It'll just say I haven't seen it yet, but it should say something like receipt below.
Would it make, if it's going to say that, can we also have it say receipt below and then, you do not need to display or something?
That's on it already.
Okay.
So when the receipt comes up, it will say, the receipt will automatically be done from where to say right on the screen. And that's already there.
And I think, like you said, people will get used to it over a couple
and then,
months.
And then we won't need to, they won't need to get that out.
The hardest part is remembering your license plate.
And the hardest part before was having to walk back to put your ticket.
200 things with them, right?
Yeah, it's 6.5 dozen of them. We have 2 minutes, so we can go back to this under when we get to new business, but just two things, and then we'll talk both about them in new business during the meeting. The first is the open space law that the county is considering. The legislature passed it, and it's at Ed Day's desk for signature. I think he has to sign it by September 26th, I believe it is. I'd like to just have a discussion with all of you about whether you think we should weigh in on it, you know, considering the open space that we have and that there's funding and things, that are, whether we want to weigh in on that. And the other thing is I asked Jim to put together a document that he's going to talk with us a little bit about, but just to demonstrate all the infrastructure projects that we have going on out in the village. Fairly significant amount of work that we're undertaking. It's about $20 million worth of infrastructure projects that are going on, all being funded by grants at this point. There are some of them that we have to participate in the funding of, but that's a significant amount. And I just thought it would be worthwhile for everybody to see what we're up to and up against. So we'll talk about those during Jim's report and then new business. So if you would just review your minutes, we'll begin. Actually, Apple says 3 minutes.
We need to listen to the Apple gods.
Yeah, that's right. Rise and join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everyone, and welcome to our first September meeting. We've been staying with our practice of thanking folks for their service to our community, and tonight we have really the privilege of thanking Eileen Custer Collins for her service to our community, both on the planning board and then as the very first chair of our architectural review board, and up until just recently, the only chair of the architectural review board. But Eileen, it really is a privilege, and we just thank you so much for your service to the community. We wouldn't be the village we are without people like you and without you specifically and your dedication to us. And we just really want to, and I'm so glad that there are people here to thank you for your service. So, well, I just have a... We're going to make you come up and accept this. But really, I want to thank you so much. Well, and you probably understand a lot of things about the ARB and get the right people on the board, which is also really important. Besides your service as chair, you gave me all the criteria to interview people for and to make sure that we had the right people to protect our village and to support our land use process. So this just thanks you for the 9 years, for the 20 years, and some of the things that I talked about.
Oh boy, I feel old.
Just so all of you know, Eileen's service was really recognized by a lot of the people that came before her as well, before the board, and from engineers, from architects, from development people, from developers, and from homeowners. We're all thankful for the service that Eileen gave, how carefully she listened, the types of things that she had people change that made their houses and their buildings better. So, Eileen, thank you so much.
Thank you. Well, I can't believe it was so many years, and it was my privilege to do this. My background is architecture, and I work in the field, so I'm very passionate about it. But beyond that, it was really the sense of community that is so important to me and I want to foster, and the way that the community looks is a part of that. So it was my passion, and it was my honor to do it, and I was privileged to work in this village.
And she hasn't, they haven't moved that far, but...
But one thing, just not ARB. How many years have you been serving the village? When did we start sitting on the planning board?
Like that was me, I mentioned that.
And the events?
10. I think I was on the planning board from maybe 1991 until the ARB was instituted, and I think the ARB was instituted in the early 2000s.
The beauty of it is riding around and looking and reviewing plans and whatever. It was a pleasure serving with you and learning. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, has everyone had a chance to go over the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
I would entertain a motion to...
So moved. Second.
Motion from Donna, second from Louise. Any comments of substance? Any editing can be given to Jen at your leisure. Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We will now have public comments on our discussion items only. I think there actually might be a list there. Walter, would you mind just picking that up? These are on the discussion items only, so we have four resolutions that we will be discussing. Then we also will be having a public hearing on a zoning amendment for our solar energy collections. The resolutions are for us to accept our audited voucher summary. Every meeting we get a list of expenses, of checks that have been issued for expenses in the village that we approve. There is a resolution for us to approve the Rockland County Pride Center to host a block party on Jackson Avenue on September 28th. There is a resolution to approve a grant application for Environmental Facilities Corporation. What's that for, Jim?
That's the WEA grant. That would offset...
That's for the water.
The water project, correct.
And then there's a resolution for us to declare declare a negative declaration under CEQA for the water distribution improvement project. So those are the four resolutions. Is there anyone that would like to comment on any of those? Okay, seeing none, let's move through them. The first is the resolution to accept the audited voucher. I need a motion and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Motion from Elijah. Marie with the second. Any questions? I'm sure that's making its way down. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Resolution for the block party on September 28th. Let's get a motion and a second.
So moved.
So we got to, let's go the motion with Louise this time and the second with Donna. And any discussion? We had some questions.
Right, questions before. Mm-hmm. So do you still have those concerns, Jim, about
no,
the...
No, just...
Because they just want the lower half of Jackson, correct?
Correct. It's a little logistically, because you have the one-way scenario, it'll take a little bit for us to control the flow. I mean, it can be done, and it's certainly better than... The original ask was on Franklin, so to have it on Jackson, it'll make it. We'll get through it. Yeah. It's easy. Not that it's easy. It's a little. Only because you have all the one ways.
Right.
To scoop the redirecting everything. But we'll figure it out.
And now we're requesting that they let the homeowners know on Jackson, correct?
Yes. We can have them do that.
Yeah, only because it's going to affect them.
Yeah, it's going to affect them getting in and out.
That's who it's going to affect getting in and out.
Especially on that, from Milldown.
Right.
Do we have the ability to let homeowners get in? Are you setting it up with a truck or with one of the little, what do you call them, the Yodas?
The Yodas.
On the uphill, that'll be a truck.
So
that's your potential for
right. Cars. So the homeowners can't get them on?
It's going to be tough. We'll have to work through that.
Right, because I think that's important that they get in. Like, even when we have the street fairs, they get in. I know it's logistically different, but people living in the plaza or DP Manor or whatever, they still can.
We can still get them through.
Right.
Depends on how big, how much of a space they need, and that's what we're working through. So if you can maybe put the truck lower and then barricade up on top, and that's where we would watch it.
How many houses are on that block? Most of those.
If you go down from the corner.
Is it six, I think?
Yeah, it's probably like six. On the south side, right?
On the south side, and
on the other side.
Two on the other side.
Right,
then it's that warehouse place. So
I have to see how much space they need. I don't think they're going past the event.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm
so hoping.
So if we
can put the truck down below, right,
even
and then we'll
put it right by party
so
event,
that many houses that
right there,
there,
so it wouldn't, you know, they just won't be able to get out. I mean,
So we'll station someone at that intersection just to let the homeowners.
Well, you have somebody there that,
you have to have somebody.
Yeah, so in case that somebody does need to get out or get in,
we have to have somebody.
Yeah, simply because you have the truck. You have to have staff on site to be able to move it in case of something. Mm-hmm. We'll get through and we'll take the houses into account.
Any other discussion?
Because that was the only concern, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really what it was.
There were two concerns. One was the one were the residents, and the other was how do we get the one-way streets figured out. But that was all done, I think, and the police department was involved in those discussions. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The next is for us to submit the WIA grant. This is, again, for the water infrastructure. We've done it before. Every year the grant becomes available. We are asking our state elected officials to write us letters of endorsement for this proposal. This could be big. This could be a couple $1 million to offset some of the costs.
Second.
So, motion from Marie, second from Louise. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And then the CEQA review. This is to declare a negative declaration for CEQA for the replacement of the water pipes.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any questions, concerns? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We will now have public comment on any item. There will be a 3-minute limit for each comment. If we go beyond 8 o'clock, we will stop at 8 o'clock to open a public hearing, and then we will go back to any public comments if people might have. So.
Juber?
Just before you start, we are recording this meeting, so if you could give us your name and where you're from, that would be great.
We hear
you?
Yep.
Thank you.
The Pew Avenue, Manhattan, New York, and the recent problems, I've been down that block for 16 years, and I would think that even we have a politician who lives there, and we have all this board, and the previous board, we've never made moves to improve life on the block. Disorderly conduct is not a rarity. The shootings that just happened, we need to work with the police department better, helping them. All the shootings that I've in the last 5 years, especially one was on the 4th of July, kid came over here just by himself, but they're all not from NIAC. NIAC's getting a bad name. I know some of the guys that hang out on our block on the Perfect Angels, but they're not the ones doing the shooting. And being we have the politician who lives there, we would think that maybe we could get some more help. When I first moved in 2003, there was block parties all the way around and without the permits. The cops cleaned it up along with the merchants who started popping up along there, and the only time police got that lowered down quite a bit. And we still have these unbelievable disturbance. I woke up to that thing, I thought it was a little kid, 8 and 9, 10 years old running around. So we didn't get fireworks. The cop says, that was a shotgun. That woke up, that was boom. Sort of bomb went off. But that's gotta stop. It's gotta be everybody doing an order fee. Well, my road got sanctioned off with yellow tape, so it must have been there. It wasn't an order fee. And I hope all the guys that got injured are doing better. But that's the first time 4 people got either stabbed or shot, and that's got to stop. And I think everybody on the board has to work with Orangetown, Carlucci, the legislators to get laws changed. And I know people don't like search and frisk or whatever, but when you get to this element, this shooting stuff is not one person anymore. A bullet came through our senior citizen bathroom at the community 5 years ago. We've changed the windows by now, so that window's gone. But the bullet came right through. And we got traffic like you remember today. I took a picture of a guy, happens to be Caucasian. He's on the block all the time. He's a big husky guy. And I learned how to download the picture, which I have on my phone right now. Now we're getting tired of seeing him on our street. And he's dealing with people in Nyack Plaza. And he's a problem. I would love to see his car get searched for any kind of weapons or anything. I downloaded to my favorite detective down there, and he's going to look into it. It's got to stop, and the neighborhood has to be more pleasant, more quality of life. And I think that Mrs. Parker and your help, the legislators can all work together and do that. So that all the little kids, one of these days, those little kids that were running around 3 o'clock in the morning, that was junior high and lower. God forbid they got hit by a stray bullet like you see on the news all the time. So it's got to stop. Okay.
Agreed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Carlin?
I'm Joe Carlin, 2nd Avenue in Nyack. I have 2 things I want to talk about. First thing, 51 North Broadway, the building where Dr. Bodie has his office, that has been barricaded for at least 3-4 months, the whole section. I personally going over the curb, maybe I'm a little bit of a flux, but I tripped and fell. And I just want to know, what is the status on that? I mean, there has to be a something, an end solution.
Yeah, we've our building department has been working fairly closely with them for a while. They have hired McLaren Engineering to do a structural assessment of the building. So as soon as we get that, we'll know what next steps need to be taken.
Okay, but the question is there, are there any incentives or disincentives for the building owner to do something, to do the study? Because it's at least 4 months it's been like that. And, I mean, it shouldn't be an open-ended thing that the owner can just, you know, okay, next year I'll get McLaren. I mean, there should be some fines, violations. Because it's a problem with the, I mean, I'm, as I said, I'm a klutz. There are people that are have a little bit of handicaps. They have to step down on the curb.
No, we know it's a problem. It's a problem. And our building inspector has been working with them. I don't believe we have issued any summons to them.
But they are working with them.
Well, summons is they issued an order to remedy, and the next step is to summons them in the hope that it would accelerate their compliance with at least erecting scaffolding and opening up the sidewalks.
Right. And if the village is liable, God forbid there's some type of injury, you know?
I don't think we're liable, but we get sued.
You
have to defend it, and every time you get sued, it doesn't help.
That's right. So I just...
Yeah, this has come up. The owners of the building next door to it spoke with us earlier in the summer. I brought this up again in August, and I guess, you know, it sounds like there's action happening, but I agree it's probably not as fast as we'd like it to be.
It should have been faster, but we've been... The building department's been on them almost weekly about it, so it's...
Okay, well, without a carrot and a stick, it could just go on and on. So maybe...
But it's being solved, so that's not what you said. It's not quite completely true. Because they do have an engineer now working on them. They put out a bid to get engineers, and now they have them.
Okay. I'm just saying that you should light a fire under them to get it solved. Okay, the second item is the perennial subject is on parking meters, Goldberg. I have a basic question. Does the village own the meters, or are we leasing the meters?
We're leasing.
Some type of other arrangement?
Leasing.
We're leasing them. Okay. Maintenance of the parking meters, is that part of the leasing package?
Jim,
yes, there is. Yes, as part of the lease, there are certain maintenance and parts that are available to us, but we do the maintenance ourselves.
You do the maintenance?
Yeah, we can
not
do the maintenance.
Over. They don't send engineers out to do the maintenance?
No, only on request, only if there was something we can't fix easily.
Okay, one of the things that I was very dismayed at is that all during this time when we were talking about the new parking system, everybody said, well, we were told, go to the library. There's a parking meter at the library. Play with it, understand it, get comfortable with it. And I did. And lo and behold, when the actual parking meters were put into place, there was no bill collected. As opposed to the library, where there is a bill collector inside. Which many people, they walk around, they don't walk around with a lot of coins. They might not want to use their credit cards, but usually people have dollar bills. And I actually had a case twice. Older people who didn't have a credit card, didn't want to use a credit card, and they had such a problem the dexterity using coins, putting it into the slot. And I'm just wondering, I looked at the meter, I looked at both of them, I took measurements. Can the existing parking meters be retrofitted with a bill collector?
Why don't you speak to that? One of the things that they were discussing, those meters purposely don't have dollar bills, you know, to put dollar bills in, because that has seemed to have been the problem. Those bills get stuck, and then the machines break down. So they have done a study on that, and that's one of the reasons why it was decided not to, so they don't collect dollar bills, because it became more of a problem than it was worth.
Okay, but who would be responsible for repairing the bill collectors? It was the village?
It was the village. It was us. Yes, because we're the first ones out.
And it's actually...
It's the number one. It was the number one reason for the machines stopping or breaking down, was that they would accordion in weather where it's humid or rainy, they would jam. and then we would get the calls. We'd have to go out and fix them and pull those out. So from an industry level, you're seeing more and more talking with the different companies. Bill collectors have been eliminated. And many more people are going to their card anyway, to the credit. But yes, the coin is always available.
And Jim, I know you had said, because we had the parking authority guys in here, do you remember the exact cost of what it was to replace them each time they broke?
But yeah.
It
was $1,700.
That's what I said. It was like over $1,000 to change just that bill.
$17,000?
$1,700 to repair each time.
How often did that happen?
Oh, at the end.
Quite often.
Actually, Matt brought the card in that evening.
Yeah.
Showed it to us, yeah.
There,
there were so many of those.
Seven or eight times.
Right.
Look, I'm just saying that it's a little bit of a disappointment. And the other thing...
But that was discussed over and over again during the meetings that there would not be bill collectors.
Okay. There wasn't any attention or...
But it was discussed over and over again because of this issue.
Okay, so the last thing about the parking meters, and I know this is out of left field, many people don't want to use their put their license number in. I know that that's the basis of the entire system, but it does print out a receipt. Can people just pay the meter, get the receipt? They get the receipt anyway, and put it on the dash. I know it's a backward step, but the parking attendants are, in any case, walking around, and they can see if there's a there's a slip on the dashboard. I'm just to consider that.
I personally would think that that would be a really bad idea, just because of the way people have used those slips to get out of tickets for years and years. I just wouldn't want to see us go backwards to that. But I'm only one person out of five, so.
I have not talked to a lot. I understand that the number of people that have that concern is more than zero. But I haven't talked to a lot of people that have that concern. I think if somebody is truly concerned about that, they could park on a side street and use one of the old coin-operated meter heads where you just put quarters in, or park on a block beyond that and just park on the streets where there's no meters at all. But I don't think that that's a widespread position among the residents.
Well, all I know is that some of the merchants are, I've spoken to a lot of merchants actually, and they are all complaining.
Joe, I talk to the merchants too. They're not all complaining.
I didn't say all of them. Many of them are.
I talk with them too. I go up
and down. Together.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should, because I actually have gotten a lot of very positive comments about the parking, as well as negative ones. But we fixed almost all the negative issues that people have raised.
Okay. All right.
We listen and we've responded by redoing the screens, by redoing the hour part, how long you can park on the street. We've done a lot of things to meet the concerns that people have raised. We have not been able, we obviously can't meet the concerns about the license plates, because that's how the system works. And even the receipts that come out now have your license plate on.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Stanley Caesar.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Stanley Caesar. Just want to piggyback off of Mr. Berkey's. Actually, my mother's neighbor. I've never heard him speak so eloquently and nice.
We have.
I've had run-ins with him, and it's good to see that he's focused on safety. That was warm. But my reason for being here this evening, I have a short statement under 3 minutes about safety. Good evening, and thank you for hearing me this evening. My name is Stanley D. Caesar, the same Stanley D. Caesar, currently being called a liar and thief by Mr. Isaac Hershka. I embrace the name calling and threats and legal tactics geared towards silencing me. During the 7 weeks within Brick House, I listened as Mr. Isaac Hershko and others made claims to having close relationships in this town's government, which brings me here. I don't know the complexities of these relationships, but I did witness reckless behaviors which were based upon the level of comfort they have. A couple of those reckless behaviors were addressed yesterday with the closure, but many are still pending. I'm a Nyack native, Head Start, St. Anne's School, Nyack High School, and only want great things to happen for this wonderful community. When I was brought in to the business, it was with the best intentions to improve quality of service. Over several weeks, I appealed for change for the youthful student employees, screamed for the rights of the undocumented workers, yelled for the safety of the staff and consumer, and pleaded for the vendor's oath. My goal is not to vilify Mr. Hirschko in the eyes of the public. My aim, while with him, was to properly address all issues within the business and, you know, those that were keeping it from truly being successful. Unfortunately, too many within the organization are focused on business as usual, which means ignoring violations, disrespecting and abusing employees. Together, they create a false narrative that they are managing business and people properly. The facts speak differently. The facts state that the working conditions are poor and completed services are not compensated for. The facts state many people have been hurt financially, emotionally, including myself. That's what I have for everyone this evening. Any questions?
Thank you for speaking. Thank you. Thank you for speaking out.
Yes.
Thank you.
Janice Alcipio?
I can yield my time for Stan to speak for another 3 minutes. Stan, if you have more you want to say.
Well, thank you. A few people have...
you can keep coming back up for every 3 minutes.
Okay. I'm sorry. Several people have reached out, minors, community people, and they're and I'm not an advocate. I've never in my history, I've been in restaurant management for over 15 years, ever done anything like this before. I came into the project, and the goal was to, you know, help this be successful. That means I can be successful. And it didn't turn out that way. It's very different now. You can see how it's playing out in the media, and it's a circus. At the end of the day, there are still people being hurt. There are still violations pending. And I'm being addressed and saying, hey, Stan, what are you doing about it? Everyone's looking for answers. I don't have those answers. I really don't. I've been reaching out to, you know, different agencies. It was the health department who reached out to me because I called Rockland County Government. I didn't know who to reach out to, and I said, hey, this is what's going on. The health department is part of the issue because they were there on a day when I was there, and I saw a zero violations issue. So I don't need to speak to the health department. Someone who cares about food safety needs to go in there because there are several reckless violations. And someone reached out and said, okay, we're going to do that. But, you know, we're talking about violations that have been probably standard practice for years. These aren't things that grew overnight. They weren't. So the blind eye, people are looking to point the finger. And I don't know where that lies. And that's not what I'm trying to do either. Several vendors, you're going to start seeing several people come to small claims court. Vendors are calling me, asking me what to do because they've seen me in the news and they know that the employee said I got them paid cash and they're looking for, you know, their funds. But, like, I don't have those answers either. The only thing I do know is how to speak to people and tell the story, be as eloquent and as polite as possible, and... You know, that's really all I have. You know, I hope that people in the community really want that space to be ran properly so the youth isn't hurt. So the vendors that are coming into the community understand that the town cares about them and, you know, they're providing service and they're going to get paid for their services. So that's a big one when you think about that. So... There's a vendor now who actually was here this evening, came with me, filled out a claim for $3,000 owned, and was threatened downstairs and left. So this happened just a few hours ago. So that's the type of situation breeding. Now, I personally don't get intimidated easily, but that happened here downstairs, you know, while this meeting is happening.
I'm sorry, who was he threatened by the owner?
Actually, his son and his, you know, friends or whoever. Now, here's the piece. I asked him, with an attorney present, I said, you know, were you threatened? He said, look, I just want to go. I just want to go. And I said, look, I don't want you to be here if you're not comfortable. I don't. I said, there's no reason for you to be here. You already filled out the claim suit. You're not speaking. I just wanted you to see the process. And he said, you know, I was told I'm going to be given my money, and, you know, I just want to go. And I said, okay, like, I don't want you to, in front of my attorney, I said, you know, you should leave. But understand, that's the type of stuff that's going on. And, you know, from employees being paid to tell, you know, false statements, you know, that's going on. And, you know, people reaching out to me after those things are being said and saying, hey, I feel really bad. You got us our money. You were able to, you know, get us paid. And this is what's going on. And I want to speak up about it. So, you know, that's touching. But someone has to tell those stories. And someone has to get the word out. And someone has to really have you understand you have some bad actors in the community posing as something else.
I have a question for you. So yeah, you said that the health department came.
Yes.
And from what you could see, or whoever complained, that there were violations, but they did not find any and did not write any.
Yes. So they came on the 15th.
They did close it for a little bit.
Just for like 24 hours.
Yeah, that was it.
No, the visit I'm referring to was on the 15th that they came in, and there weren't. And there wasn't a closure, which would have been acceptable at that point. Being in the business for several years, I know not to be fearful, but you have to watch employee behaviors when the health department comes in. You have to understand, you know, they could make a mistake which cause you a violation, which could cause, you know, fines. So you have to watch those things. And seeing no sort of, you know, care or worry or concern when you can see clearly, you know, the place needs to be addressed in several areas. And I didn't understand that piece, and that's what I addressed with the health department, that it didn't make sense that they're so comfortable working in that environment. It doesn't make sense if a 16-year-old ho says, oh, our furry friends are here, and this is their first job, and they're like, I'm like, what? And they're like, mice. Like, don't go over there. There are mice. This is week one. So that's what they're learning about business in my that environment is okay. That it's okay to have roaches and bread. That's okay. You know, we'll brush them off. It's okay to have bed bugs and just tell the guests don't sit in that chair. It's not okay. And, you know, that's the message that I was preaching and sharing. And
are you aware when the health department comes, do they make unannounced visits?
Yeah, they definitely make, most of them are unannounced. Usually the revisits are announced.
Do the same inspectors come?
No, this was a different set.
They get a relationship?
This was a definitely different set of inspectors that came in that did the closure.
Okay.
Can I ask a question? Sam, how do they get rid of their garbage?
Oh, so they there's a van that actually
let me answer.
I'm gonna let him answer it. Just calm down.
Okay.
So there's no contract with the local, like Carlito Menudo. So there's no contract like that because I believe they're owned. So they pick up their own trash. I was told by one who actually picks up the trash that he disperses that different places because they don't have a contract. So they'll pick that up, load it up in the van, go drop that off, and then come back and use that same van to go pick up food and groceries and produce. But, you know, the details are deep and disgusting. But that, again, that wasn't the goal. The goal was just to fix those issues. The goal wasn't to say, hey, this person's a bad actor. But, you know, everything from, you know, liquor distribution, there are laws about where you can actually purchase. Those aren't being followed. There are laws around child labor and hours. Those aren't being followed. that, you know, undocumented, you know, workers, you know, how they're treated and mistreated, rather, in this case. So we can go on and on. But each of those are being addressed outside of this court. I'm, you know, definitely bringing this to, I have the EEOC, New York State Labor Board, and, you know, that Alcohol Bureau,
Liquor
OSHA.
Good.
So, you know, the goal wasn't to, you know, go around this board. But really, I wanted to come in and let you know that.
You're doing the right thing, though, all the way.
Thank you.
Yep. Stanley, we've gone about 7 minutes on your statement. So,
okay.
What I'd like to do is just move and see if there are other people, and then we can come back and have you come up again.
No, I'm fine.
I mean, I don't really, I don't want to shut you down.
So
we're gonna open our public hearing, which we were supposed to open at 8, but I felt like we shouldn't do that during that discussion. So
I have a question. Sorry.
I have a question.
Will I be able to speak later on? Now that you're starting as part of your meeting.
The way the process works is we open up our public hearing, then we'll go back to public comments.
Okay.
That's exactly the way I stand.
So yes.
So the answer to the yes is this.
Thank you.
So I need a motion and a second to open our public hearing.
So
on
moved. Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, motion carried, and let's go back to public comment. And then once we're done with public comment, we'll move to the public hearing.
Who's
next?
That's it, Janice? Do you want to speak now?
That's it? Okay. I'm just here to pass on some information.
Can you tell us who you love?
Just give us your name and your address, please.
274 South Boulevard.
Thank you.
I'm just here to pass on some information. Are you aware of who James Elkick is? James Elkick. He works for Rockland County Consumer Protection. They have conducted a very in-depth investigation on 92 Main Street because they're doing work without permits. We all know there's no permits issued on that building right now. And they did a very intense investigation, and he sent over his electrical inspector. His name is Bob Devine. You may want to write these names down.
We have all the information.
And they sent that his electric inspector, Bob Devine, was sent over to the building. He actually went into the building and saw brand new electrical work that was being done, that had been done, took pictures of the electrical work, and brought it to the attention of the building inspector. James Elkick told me that they were shocked at the lack of cooperation from the building inspector and the building department. So I'm passing that information on to you, and I would think that you would follow up on exactly why that took place and what's going on. So do you have any questions for me?
I'm very aware of the situation. I'm surprised that
you're not speaking about it. I am. So I'm letting you know about it, okay, publicly. Okay, so what are you doing about it? If you're aware about it, what are you doing about it? Just asking.
The building's been shut down for construction, and there have been fines that have been levied on that.
Fines for work that was done without permits?
I don't know the specifics.
So not on that building for no work without permits, but the architectural plans that were submitted by the building owner are being reviewed by the building inspector.
Right.
He's been on site several times, and he may not have the same conclusions as the people who work for Rockland County have, but the building inspector in this village is charged with enforcement of the code.
Right.
And if he feels that the code is being violated, he will issue a violation. If he feels that it's not, he won't issue a violation.
Right. So what James Elkick said to me was that he and his inspector, who works for the Consumer Protection of Rockland County, okay, they were shocked at the lack of cooperation. So that to me, you know, says something, that maybe somebody's not doing their job, and maybe somebody needs to oversee to make sure that that person is following the law. Okay. So work has been done without permits, and this is the consumer protection guy saying this, not me, I'm not making it up. You can speak to him yourself personally. I asked him if I could go public with this, and he said, absolutely. I will talk to anybody that wants to talk to us. We were very concerned that there was no cooperation from the building department.
So according to what you consider cooperation? Yeah.
Well, they did nothing about it in terms of...
It may be just discussion, that they didn't particularly hear how it was discussed, but if the building inspector has been doing his end of it...
My question is that were there violations put on this project, on this building, for work done without permits?
I don't believe that there has been.
Why not?
Well, I mean, that question, as I said, is within the jurisdiction of the building inspector.
But who oversees the building inspector?
The building inspector runs the building department. Under New York State law, he's the one that interprets the code. And you can say that someone told you that things should have been done differently, but it's the building inspector's job. And you can disagree with how he does his job, but that's who it is. I mean, this is a very common question. I mean, you know, somebody's got to be at the top of the enforcement chain.
And somebody is above him. Someone is above him. He's not above the law. No.
That's your characterization. Nobody said anybody's above the law. He is the man under New York State law that is charged with interpreting the building code and enforcing it within the village of Nyack. That's who does it. Different municipal entities, such as the health department, the Department of Labor, they have different jurisdictional claims. But
that's right. That's why his jurisdiction wasn't to do anything about it. He passed it on. Their job is to find out if there are unlicensed workers working in the building. But their jurisdiction has nothing to do with permits. That's the village thing. So this fellow, Bob Dezine, the inspector for the Consumer Protection Bureau, thought he was doing his diligent duty to pass that information on to the building inspector. The building inspector didn't follow through. Whether his interpretation, bottom line is, you don't have a permit, you can't do work in your building, especially electric.
That's your take on the code and requirements of permitting and whether there's permits out there. I mean, I'm not going to argue on what permits or what plans have been reviewed by the building department. I'm not going to do it because that would be speculation. You know, you raise an issue with the board can talk to the building inspector and find out status.
I would suggest you talk to Bob Dezine because he's the electrical inspector and he's got photographs. And, you know, it's not me saying this. I'm not making this up. Here's the guy you got to talk to. Because if somebody's not following through with their job and their responsibility, somebody has to do something about it. Somebody's got to do something about it. If he's not enforcing the code, if he's not, doing his job, somebody has to get to the bottom of it. This stinks. Something's wrong. Okay? And this guy, James Elphick, was livid. He's a U.S. Marshal, former U.S. Marshal, this guy. He doesn't play. And he said, Jan, I will talk to anybody you want. So, you know, I'm passing the information on to you guys. I think that it would be your responsibility to make sure that the codes and the laws within this town are upheld by the people that are in positions to follow through with our laws and our codes and everything else. You're not going to look into it, or if he decided that it's not worthy of a violation, well, then that's his prerogative. It's not his prerogative. He has to enforce the law. It's not his prerogative.
Actually, that is his prerogative, to look at the state of facts. To enforce
the law?
To look at a state of facts in any given building at any given time, and make a determination whether his reading of the law has been violated.
Okay, that's his job.
Nobody is suggesting that it's not the job of the building inspector or the village
right.
or anybody else to enforce the law.
Right.
Obviously, it is.
It is. So when that person's not doing their job, what do we do about it?
Well, that would be a question to be asked if we came to the conclusion they were not doing their job.
Who would you
that's
talk to?
That's not a conclusion that I think we're all ready
but
to reach
But who do you
moment.
Speak to about that? Who would be the one to talk to? The mayor?
If the building...
I mean, who's
you're
who's,
talking to all of us
so
right now.
So it's up to you. That's why I'm sharing it with you.
Right?
It's up to you,
Patrick.
Right.
Thank you.
To determine whether
Thank
or not
you.
People
Thank
within
you.
Our...
Correct.
Right? Within
Thank
our
you.
Local government
Thank
are
you.
Doing their job.
Yes.
Thank you. We'll look into it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I would appreciate if you would look into it.
Yes, of
Thank
course.
You.
I do it all the time. Okay, so we'll go back to any other... Mm-hmm. Any other public comment? Yes. Laura.
is Mara Weintraub. I am the property owner of 43 North Broadway, and I came in late. I don't know if you were discussing that.
Yes, you were.
So I was here 3 months ago in June and discussed, you know, the nature of the fallen bricks next door at 51. And been to the building park many times. Nothing's happening. I have no word from anybody. I was supposed to be named as additionally insured. I've heard nothing from them. I have my tenants constantly complaining. They're the ones out there fixing the cones and the things set up because they're kicked all over in front of my building. I have pictures of what it actually looks like from the front of my building because my building's really the only one that's mostly affected. And, you know, being the squeaky wheel, speaking for my little building there. And I have great concern now because we're coming into winter with thawing and freezing and continued destruction of the facades. And my tenants still have technically no access to the backyard of my property where they do laundry. And I also, you know, have limited access to having contractors go back there. So I'm really here to just speak again and say, you know, that this is a problem. I've also seen it on Facebook pages. I know that you've responded, and I see the comments, and, you know, I see people walking in the street with baby strollers, and I think it's going to be winter, there's going to be snow and ice, and, you know, what's going to happen to this building, and I've heard nothing, basically. So that's why I'm here, because I'm being the squeaky wheel.
No, and appropriately so. We do know that they have hired an engineering firm to give them advice on how to rectify the situation.
That's what I was told 3 months ago. I had a meeting with Paul and Don in the building department, and they said that same thing to me in June.
Jim, are you aware?
We were at the meeting. Before.
The prior meeting, yes, that's what they were told. Now we went back to the building owner. They've now hired McLaren.
We know that they have. We have documentation.
I don't have documentation, but that's talking to the owner to show you a document.
I do agree, though, with the concerns that people are raising. Yeah, is that if this is taking, you know, month after month after month, and there's not a resolution, then I think need to somehow compel the building owner to do that, or fake it. You know, we talked about, you know, that there was an order of remedy issued, and then there does need to be a summons, I would think. I mean, it's not our call, but I mean that's the building department. But to me, it seems like 3 months is plenty. And you know, I think obviously we don't want to like just come after people like the Gestapo and like ticket them the moment they do anything. But you know, if they're taking months, can we?
It's very similar to the last member of the public that spoke up. You know, when something happens with a building, any building, the building department, I think their first inclination is to achieve compliance. Mm-hmm. So you know, the building department may feel like they're doing the right thing by talking with the building owners. However, usually, you know, when you have a summons to appear in front of a judge, things may happen quicker. So it's something that, you know, I can run by the building inspector and see where he is from changing an order to remedy, which gives you X number of days to comply to issuing the court appearance ticket.
I mean, I think that would make sense, and I appreciate that it does make sense generally to start trying to get compliance, mm-hmm. because then you usually get better results if you try to work with people than come after them instantly. But if you're not doing what they need to do,
I think we should have a conversation with Don about that building inspector. I mean, Jim and I have talked about it 10 times in the last 2 months, and we just don't seem to be able to get anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, my understanding was that we were going to pull a building permit to put up a scaffolding.
That's what I heard, too.
Adjacent property owner's consent, but, you know, that needs to happen.
Yeah, I mean, because so you talked about this, and I know I brought this up in August at the meeting, and kind of asked for the update on that, too, and it sounded, again, like things were happening, but
it's
happening. So.
I just think weather is also a concern. Tape on the building, holding the brick together, tape. So I think, you know, got it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Sorry, it is thick.
Yeah.
You want to see my pictures of my...
You can show them through
the
lawn.
I go by every day, so I see it in person.
It's the view that my tenants see when they come out of their building.
It's different than the other two.
Why don't you leave them with us and we can use them?
Okay, and actually my tenant is the one who, she fixes the cones and she fixes the railing that's there, and because people knock it over, and she comes out, and it's all in front of the steps, and she comes out and she fixes it so that, you know, she doesn't trip on it. My other tenants don't trip on it.
Why don't you just leave the pictures with us?
Okay.
It's a public safety issue. I think we should just leave.
Which it is.
I think we should just leave.
The lizards have fallen in the street. I'll leave the pictures. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
And really sorry for the inconvenience, and hopefully things will move faster than they have been. We're definitely going to look at that.
The last time we set a meeting with you, right, afterwards, so we'll be back in touch to do the same thing.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Drew?
When I get 3 minutes, I have to do it. We have a problem with, again, safety. Right here, about 2 weeks ago, and I've shown pictures to Don, well, one time I showed him by the post office, but we have serious safety issues. Hudson Avenue, I know from Cameron, it's one way to the river, not from the river. Several times a week, if we had a police officer, we had the time to sit there, he had an unmarked car. He gave out about probably 20 tickets in a week. The other safety thing is that the ambulance corps, you go to the building, you can't get a hold of the supervisor of Nyack Ambulance. They park right here where the bus pulls in, facing south, to go get a cup of coffee. The two people on that ambulance are not from Nyack. They have to keep on switching because of manpower. I said to him, somebody comes out from O'Donoghue's, from that part of Main Street, to make a right, you've got to go all the way in the southbound lane right here to have a head on. He couldn't be concerned about that. Okay, the other thing I don't like is that, for some reason, you guys could send a message to him. People asking to have spaces taken away from the public. We have 6 or 7 people from the Pumana, several people from Nyack Plaza. They use those spaces all the time. And with alternate side parking also, it's not fair for a construction company or a blacktop company, blacktopping, to come in and say, I need a favor, I need 7 spots, and use one all day. I got the pictures right on my phone. That's an inconvenience to people who are not going to use it. Okay? The other thing I want to say is from what I just heard, I'm not sure if the bill inspector's not doing his job, but I can tell you, he's in the Pew Manor every week, maybe twice a week, him and Paul. And believe me, they're checking out the broken sewer pipes and everything. Believe me, they go through that fence, and they're in there for probably a good 20 minutes. Every time another hole opens up, another pipe's come out of another apartment. Dr. Finty and Paul, not together, but separately, have been in there. And believe me, they're keeping the housing authority and the contractor on his toes. So, from my experience with him, it's worth his weight in gold.
Thank you.
I'm not sure about the other project, but we're sure under the scrutiny, we're under the spotlight. The ambulance corps and the spaces, that has to be improved. When somebody gets killed, then they got to take somebody from the accident and put in the ambulance when they're going to get coffee. Don't want to change.
Well, at least they're right there.
Not that I did to them.
Sorry. Any other public comments? Thank you for that. Appreciate your comments. Are there any comments on the proposed legislation? Walter, do you want? I know we've received comments back from the county.
We undertook. The village has a solar panel collection law regulating applications for solar energy collected from the village. And it came to a point because of limitations on the size of the panels on buildings, specifically in residential zoning districts, the lesser of 900 square feet or 33% of the entire roof area, and in commercial zoning districts, the lesser of 1,000 square feet or 33% of the roof area, that we were getting a lot of variance requests for solar energy collectors. So we undertook what we thought were very simple modifications to the law to eliminate limitations on the size of these things or to modify them to a reasonable degree. And the county came back and said they don't, you know, they're not in favor of the modifications, which was surprising. At this point in time, I've interfaced with the planner, and what we're going to do is in one- and two-family dwellings, we're going to allow the New York State unified permit to be, standardized permit to be utilized in one- or two-families, and then leave the law as it is, because to override the county on it would take a supermajority vote. And we're not sure they 100% understood what we were trying to do, but in any case, we have to resubmit to them a rewritten law. So I would ask the board to adjourn this until the November meeting because we need to resubmit and get a 30-day window of response.
Okay. That's fine. I just would want to say, I don't know if we've ever actually seen a copy of this law.
Okay.
So I certainly don't see that. But yeah,
I'll email it to you and the county comments. Did you get the county comments?
I did not get the county comments. Nope. Okay. Thanks.
We have a resolution to adjourn this public hearing to the November meeting.
We need a motion to adjourn the public hearing.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Until November.
November first meeting?
November.
First meeting.
November. But it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Is it?
Or did we reschedule?
One meeting.
What do we have for Thanksgiving?
Let's just do the first one.
Yeah.
Let's just
say
we don't have to wait that way. Okay, reports. We don't have anything from OPD. Walter, do you have any reports?
I have a few items. We talked about the RFP already. The CCA contract, I had raised some questions on some of the terms and received a communication back from Jewel, and the board had previously approved this subject to the terms of the contract being agreed to. So I just wanted to report to the board that actually yesterday afternoon, the gentleman from Jewel got back to me, the general counsel, on a couple of the termination points and some of the ability of them to assign or delegate certain program administrative tasks. But I'm satisfied with the language, and as I said in the email back on July 31st, that I think that that's ready to go forward, and the board has already approved it. So just so you know, Mayor, you could sign that.
Okay, good.
I have several pieces of legislation that I've been working on. I wasn't at the August meeting, but it was my understanding that the board came to a consensus that for groups seeking to use the park, larger groups, that they would need to apply for a permit. And the numbers that I was provided with, that if it's a group of 10 or more persons, 10 but not more than 40, the village clerk could issue a permit for the use of the park. But if it's 40 or more, that they would have to come to the Board of Trustees to get a vote. So in order to implement that, we would need to amend Section 250.10 of the Parks and Recreation Law to add a new subdivision, which would say that persons or entities with a recognizable group of 10 or more persons, whether riding a vehicle or not, shall not enter or remain in the park unless they get from the village clerk or the Board of Trustees permit, and that the administration of the permit would be for groups of at least 10 but not more than 40. Village clerk can deal with it administratively. For 40 or more persons, the village board of trustees. So I would ask that could be in the first meeting in October for a motion to set a public hearing, and I'll circulate the draft local law if I'm right on those numbers.
Okay. Yeah, those were the numbers
that we discussed.
So that would be October 10th.
So I need a motion for a public hearing to be set for October 10th at 8 o'clock.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And that will be for the subject of the park law.
Additionally, we've got a communication through the parking enforcement aides and the village administrator that we need to look at our parking code to make changes to Gale Drive, going from 9 a.m. to 12 noon, no parking, to codify the 15-minute limit at the post office.
And Village Hall.
So, and I'm also looking at various other sections of the code in terms of cleanup. So it's parking regulations. I will have that legislation for you by the second September meeting. But I'm looking to get a public hearing on that at the second meeting in October. You don't have to deal with it tonight, but I just wanted to update you on that and ask if there was anything else that you wanted me to look at there.
Didn't we already do Gale Drive? I thought we already approved that.
I think
we discussed
I know we talked
for the parking rights.
I don't have a section in the code.
For the parking rights, the enforcement.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But we did approve it by resolution. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. It's just
oh, and Memorial Park. That's the one.
The no parking on the...
Down below. We have to have some mechanism. Some folks do park there and go to work.
That wasn't actually a law yet, but I wanted to bring that up. That in the communication, they're saying some people park in Memorial Park and then get on a bus and go to work and park there all day.
When we say in Memorial Park, down
below.
In
down below. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So we just.
Again, the signs do say for parking only, but we can observe that and they need the mechanism if we want a ticket.
Mm-hmm. We've had that before.
Walter, when you're after you draft these up, I've asked a couple members of the board to serve on to look at certain issues, and when Jen gives her finance report, Marie and Louise have been working with her on budget issues, and Elijah and I are working on planning on parking. So if we could, if he and I could have a meeting with you to talk those things through before they get put out, so that we're making sure we're following that process, that would be great. But you need
once I get them in front of you, you can set the public hearing.
Okay.
Because it's parking reg, so it only needs 10 days notice.
Okay.
The village planner, in connection with the building department, is seeking to pursue amendments to the stormwater management section of our village code, which is chapter 295. And the stormwater pollution protection provisions of the zoning code. I have a draft of that legislation, which I can circulate to the board. Since it entails an amendment of the zoning code, I'd be asking for a public hearing to amend the stormwater pollution prevention sections of the zoning code at the November meeting. I will circulate the law and a notice of a public hearing. I don't think the earth-shattering changes. They're really administrations of plans when a development comes in. Nowadays, drainage is a very important issue, they're required to do a stormwater pollution prevention plan, recorded with the county clerk. It allows the building department to have access to premises. We need to tighten up some provisions and expand some existing with modifications of the state law. So if we could have a motion for a public hearing on November 14th at 8:15.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
I also just wanted the board to know that we're working on modifying some forms in the building department regarding affidavits and someone selling their home, and there's a municipal search done. Wood representations property owners make, looking at the parking authority legislation just in general, and the affordable housing law. Mm-hmm. Speaking with Bob, and there may be things coming down the pipe for recommendations to the village board, just so you know. And I think that's it right now.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
You and Bob were going to meet about the housing, about just putting that into the fund thing or something else?
Yeah, we're looking at the fund and how it applies to ownership versus rentals. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. Very interested in that.
Okay, Jim, I know you're up next, but I know that there's a bunch of people here that are here for a specific issue that may not want to stay until midnight. Would it be all right with the board if we, I know specifically for the Boy Scouts, and if there are others that want to be heard that are in the communications section, would that be, would that be all right with the board to do that? So you folks want to come?
We have some handouts. This is just to explain what our request is.
So our request is that we like. My name is Ian Graham, Scoutmaster Troop 2, Mac, New York.
I'm Carol Beck, I'm a committee member on the troop.
We are here to ask permission for a group of, we estimated, up to 10 scouts and maybe 5 leaders, about 15 people, to a camp out in Memorial Park. And not just any camp out, a camp out that would be essentially to raise awareness to the community for homelessness and hunger. We've reached out to the NIAC Homelessness Project, and they are supporting one of the things you have there. But me and I have been talking about this for about a year, and we finally got sort of re-coordinated to try to have the youth in our community learn about the fact that people do spend the night in temporary makeshift shelters with found and scavenged materials. And also to be a visible sort of reminder to the community in the area about what's going on and how that works. And the fact that there are resources available. So our scouts will be collecting food and donations to distribute to food pantries that serve our community. And also hand out flyers to tell people where else they can donate, drop things off for clothing and food and so forth. We have done this a few years ago. Troop 21 in Suffern does this annually. They camp out on Ramapo, right under 59, right in front of Town Hall, and they go over to the local Walmart and the grocery store and stand up front and collect food, and they put it in their local food pantry, and they do that. And what we try to do is bring that same idea to NIAC so that we can our scouts and our youth in our community become aware of what's going on and participate and serve our community in that regard. Step, of course, public service, awareness of a problem that exists in our community and the county at large, and to actively do something.
Questions from the board? Really a community building, community awareness kind of project, which is what we've been looking for to make sure that we're using our park for community activities. Any concerns about this, thoughts about it? Obviously, with our new park permitting process, we would need to go through that.
Do you have a comment?
I'd ask whether or not they're going to do any upper or lower areas.
Upper.
If it was in a lower area, obviously security.
We have submitted the permit and the insurance.
Okay,
Which is what got us here.
And there'll be 5 adults that will be supervising the boys.
We're estimating, again, I was getting adult leadership is the thing, but the Scouts organization requires that we have at least 2 trained leaders on site at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And the hope and the goal would be that we were going to take teams of scouts out and maybe go to a local grocery store. We were going to connect with the homelessness project, but they only have permission on that Saturday in Pearl River and only from 10 to 3. So we thought that what we would do is take some of our scouts and potentially put them up at the gazebo and just sort of hand out flyers. Because it's a little more public and a little more aware, and people are going to see them a little better than having to go all the way down to the park. But we'll have a group of people there and a group of people potentially up there. So we want to have at least 2 leaders on site and 2 leaders wherever our scouts are as well.
And aside from that, do we have to have OPD looking on them or anything? Or is it just fine? Do we need OPD as well to just kind of, look in on them? Or are you guys just going to be fine just that they're aware that you're in the park for 24 hours so they don't...
And my concern would be like the lighting and things down there for them.
But I do think also we may want to let the people whose homes are on Depew and Piermont Ave adjoining it, let them know this is happening so they don't see
the alarm
tents there and call OPD or call the village and say, hey, what's going on?
Right.
So I would think that for neighbors, want to have some more notification there.
Right. Our thoughts were that we would have a couple of canopies probably set up on the site, and then we would get one of the Niagara's Loan Project's banners, sort of let people know.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's to draw attention to kind of what we're doing, like what's going on. And welcome that opportunity to explain what we're doing and what we're about.
Oh, I like that.
But Dean, what we normally do is would say that probably flyering the homes with something similar to this. You can have the kids or an adult go around and just say, hey, we're doing this on so and so, and just do it within like what normally when we do when there's a building project going on, there's a certain area that we do. So you could do that, and with that would you be raising awareness plus giving the residents an opportunity to know
what's
going
on. One thing I would request that's not on here, and I don't know how possible this would be. I know that there's a restroom in the corner of the.
Would
it be possible to leave that unlocked in case anybody's got to use the facilities in the middle of the night?
Yes, we could, but I would strenuously suggest that anytime you use it, an adult goes
we'll
with you. Only because, again, to Jim's point, it's hidden. And if it's open,
so
just make sure it's clear.
And just make sure you have
it. But I'm saying with an adult, just for your safety.
Yeah, something else.
Yeah, I was just curious whether or not you would need to move some of the parking in front on Piermont in front of that park. You're going to need spaces for your vehicles or whatever.
We probably need spaces per se.
Yeah, you could probably.
I mean, in the morning to bug out. I mean, I live in the community. Kira lives in the community. I mean, we're all living nearby. So if anything we got to transport down there, we can drop it to park and then take our cars home.
But also, as you probably know, there is, at least depending on what night it is, there is parking allowed overnight right from the park.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So you would need that.
Right.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if we had a couple of.
I mean, it's easy enough to block a couple spots, just so you can dump them. I mean, you can dump them and then go.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let us know as you get closer. Well, assuming that's approved.
And just make sure you have the proper lighting down there. You wouldn't want.
Yeah. Well, we've done some campouts before. We'll have. They all have.
These are the Boy
Scouts. I know, but I'm just saying.
Don't you have parking by the playground? On the street going down into the playground?
No,
there is no parking on that area.
Okay.
Okay, so are we...
I think it's a great idea.
I motion to approve.
In a community oriented, I think, and teaching those young guys now, what's going on, it's a reality. And it is here. I work in the library, so it is here and in the county. And making them aware and making them compassionate about it and helpful, I think it's wonderful.
So there, I think we do... to need a motion and approval because it's next week. So we have a motion from Marie, a second from Donna. We've had a lot of discussion about it. Thank you very much.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'd love to hear from the guys after.
Right, a follow-up.
To hear what their experience was.
Yep.
We could do that at a formal board meeting or at a workshop, whatever is meets your needs best. But I think it would be good for us to
hear. They're young.
And for everyone to hear what.
Anywhere from 11 to 18.
Mm-hmm. It would be great to hear back.
Yeah.
And there's one in the audience.
I see. Sure. That was one of the reasons why I said we better not make them stay until midnight.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Cool.
Thank you.
Even video it on their phone.
Yeah, we'll definitely take photographs and we'll put it out there.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Okay, good night.
There's one other group that's here, and if there's more, we will entertain them. But Roger Harris from the, I want to get this right, the Nyack Memorial Barbecue is here tonight with a couple folks to talk about bringing the Nyack Memorial Barbecue, which has been happening at Rockland Lake, into our community. So, Roger, do you want to?
Roger Harris.
Michael Powell.
Yeah. Two of the board members.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's just sitting outside.
Oh, okay. This is Eric Cork. He's the founder.
Very, very.
Co-founder. I do it by myself.
We've been having this barbecues community event for the past 10 years, and we had he was very gracious to have the mayor at this last one, and he seen how we put it together and how everything came together and how the community showed up and everything. So
let me give you the outset of this barbecue, how it started. We all grew up in Morgan Terrace, Central Nyack, New York. Just imagine 80 families up there with an average of 4 kids per household. A community that was pretty much in its world of its own. I mean, we rode bikes, we played bottle tops, we played hopscotch, we did everything. A little mischievous sometimes, but all love. We were a family. All of us. I knew your brother. I knew your brother's girlfriend. Right. That's who we were.
Yeah.
So in 2007, one of our friends that we grew up with passed away.
His father was Courtney Smith. He was the first black police officer in South Nyack.
His father, Kevin, passed away. And a lot of us from this community, you know, we were apart for years. Kevin's death had brought us all back together. So I came up with this idea. I said, you know, it's a shame that always get together when there's a funeral and someone dies. And I said, we need to celebrate life and bring us together when we're celebrating life as opposed to when someone's dead. So that concept, that seed was embedded in me then, and I put it through the Nyack Memorial Barbecue. You know, it was very, very touching for us because we were really, really close. You know, when he passed, all of us passed. Part of us. So we just started with the community up there in Walden Terrace. That's all of us. That's all I wanted to be. I put my money down and said, let's do it. Let's have a good barbecue. Let's have fun. And we did. Word got around. And it spread like wildfire. So the first one.
You never told me until this year.
Right.
This is 2009. We were doing it. You know, and year after year, I mean, not the last one we were at, the one prior to that, was probably at 400 people.
Mm-hmm.
400 people.
People like to come back. They call on us and they put in for their vacations
around our barbecue
yeah. Because it's such a beautiful event. And it's nothing but love in there. And you experienced that when you came there.
Yes.
And picture that for the past 9 years. We had so no arguments, no fights, no. It was nothing but love. Everybody came together. It was like a huge reunion and everything. And
my marriage.
Yes. I'm allowing now. I mean, just, you know, from the feedback that we get, you know, it is a tremendous event for us. And I didn't really know how to touch so many people's lives, you know, because every year we read the names off at a certain time of the people that passed away, and you can just look through the crowd and you can see the people crying, you know. It's just like September 11th for us. I also witnessed that as well. So I've seen a lot of stuff. You know, I was in the military 6 years. So I've been in Persian Gulf Wars and things like that. So I've seen a lot of stuff. So when we get together for these events, it's truly, truly an amazing event. So we had mentioned to, or the mayor had mentioned to us one day.
Bring it tonight.
How about bringing it tonight? We've been having it at Rockland State Park that I get a permit for every single year. We're not supposed to have amplified music, but they haven't bothered us one time. Not once. They love us because when
it wasn't that loud.
When we leave, the place is spotless.
Yeah.
Better than we kept it.
Yes.
Oh. Better than we kept it.
matter of fact, one time we changed the date, and we had another date, and then that other date, they had other people in there. They moved other people
to accommodate us.
Is because of our professionalism and how we treat their part, how we put it back together, how we clean up, how we conduct ourselves.
We were raised right.
As is. Yes.
As we were raised right.
So after I had the privilege really of being at your event, I came back to the board and said two things. One is I think we should consider and ask you to come and present to us about moving it into the park. We have to talk about that, obviously. Mm-hmm. And the second piece is that this really is, as I was there, it was a celebration of the African-American commitment to our village and all of the things that the African-American community has done since we were founded and to make this village what it is. We don't celebrate that often. And this would give us an opportunity to celebrate that in our community. And one of the things that I would like to see is for us to have a plaque that has the names of the people that they read off, so that the storytelling that went on at that
yes.
at the barbecue was stories that, I mean, I lived in Nyack my whole life, but there were stories that I had never heard before. So and those storytellings are what keeps our traditions alive. So I thought it would be great to have it here, to have those stories told to a lot of people, but to also have something here that really showed people what the tremendous effect of the African American community in our village, both the things that we did wrong and the things that we did right about it, but that we were telling those stories that would be a way to bring our community together in ways that we haven't done in a long time. So that's what I presented to the board as opportunities for us to do. And I don't know if anybody else has any thoughts. It's, August 23rd is when you're looking. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And another thing is, look, we all do this nonprofit. We just ask for donations and stuff and get everybody to work together in the community together to make this thing happen. Yeah. And we've done this, like I say, 10 years, with each working together and making it happen together.
Over $35,000, yes. Wow. You know, have our own park, and, you know, our community.
Throughout 10 years.
So I'll tell you a funny story. I was trying to find you when I went there, so I parked on the wrong side of the park, and I was walking around, and I saw a couple park rangers, and I said, I'm looking for the knife, and over there. I didn't even get the whole name out, and they told me exactly where it was and who to look for and what parking lot it was at, so the whole park knew what was going on. So obviously
that's the positivity that we bring to
their
park that they really appreciate, you know? And we would love to bring that love tonight.
You were asking a question.
No,
I was asking. Oh, I'm sorry. Any other thoughts?
And mind you, African Americans, you know, we put it together as well. But everybody's welcome.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to put that. We don't discriminate. Everybody's welcome. And we would definitely love to have the whole, the board
everybody, the whole board, please come. You're more than welcome.
The community.
And the community.
Yeah, right. The community.
As well.
Everyone except the lawyer. Everyone except the lawyer.
Oh.
Give me a lawyer. Give me
well, what would you say?
I accept everyone.
Everybody's welcome. It's a community event.
Everybody's always surprised when they come. They're always like, they tell me, we don't, all we ask is, you know, donate whatever you can. That's it.
They didn't even ask me to donate. I don't know.
No, we're sending you
money. We're going to
ask
you everything.
You're setting me up. Now, when you say donate, as far as the preparation goes and the food and whatever, are you look for funds and you guys do all of the committee does all of the cooking or the prep, or is it like a potluck where you bring whatever?
No, we dinner.
Yeah. Well, the donations, like, if you come in and you would like to donate food, water, ice, soda, whatever you like to donate to the barbecue, we will more than accept.
Okay.
And monetary donations is welcome too.
Okay.
Because we put a lot of money out for this.
Okay,
and it's for the community. So, you know, and that helps keep the barbecue because we put out the initial food, soda, beverage, and everything else. And then when people come, whatever they bring, it keeps the barbecue going, you know. So it just helps everything.
Okay.
We try to bring everybody together as one, like one big feast.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everybody just having a meal again, enjoying our time.
And everybody does, everybody eats.
One big family reunion.
Yeah, that's right.
Parker
family
reunion,
right?
Parker family plus.
And I, you know.
Go ahead.
I'm biased because I attend it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know what it's about. And I know how we come together just in love and like they said.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone comes. Everyone shares.
Yes.
And it's just like that. Just a big
thing. How long
does
it go on, Louise?
Well, it's till dusk.
Yeah,
8 a.m. or 7.
Till dusk.
Okay.
And then, you know, because it's just a gathering, as I said, just so that we could come together and not always on a sad note.
Right. But we still can smell the flowers.
Is there any group you could be affiliated with that could get an insurance certificate to the village?
We're actually doing that now. We're going through that as we speak. We're filing for a 501(c)(3). So we're in an embryo state role as we speak. Insurance is the thing that the nature is coming down the line. Matter of fact, I got a bunch of stuff here to show you, sir.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had already talked a little bit about
it. Yeah, it's all done.
Yes.
I'm on it. Right, Stoney?
Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Scott?
What are you going to do for the safety of your participants in that? I know these three guys for many years. These are all my
wrestlers.
Not my former wrestlers, but I did appreciate these guys. And there's a tough, that's Gail Miller's son. He almost knocked me out for making the wrong call. Only kids. But I'm just worried. What about parking for you guys?
That was going to be my next question. That was my concern.
Can we get a bus company to donate, like Beggar, like they do in Haverford Transit? When they have these things up there, like the Elks Club, donate a bus. The only thing you would have to do is pay money for the driver. But the bus and the gasoline, and how much gasoline? If there's a place you can park their cars, or have them carpool, and still maybe a couple of buses, shuttle buses.
Well, the thing is with the parking is, from my understanding, is because they do have a lot of events down at the park.
Mm-hmm.
So my understanding is people find parking, and it's so easy just to get to the park. You just walk right down.
I mean, we have 8,000 people here on Halloween.
So that's the beat of NAC.
So, I mean, you know, you could park.
So you would just have to relay that to everyone,
yes.
You know, that they would be willing to, you know, do that. That would be the only thing. They wouldn't be able to drive down into the park and park there.
And by next year, we're going to have a footbridge.
So they could park in the marina and just walk.
We're going to have a footbridge across the inlet.
From the bottom of Bird.
So the big parking lot right there by the shuttle on. Yeah. So
and they could just walk off.
Obviously, what we would need to do tonight is just say, yes or no, and then there's a lot of logistics that obviously has to be done between now and then, and Jim could report back to us with the gentleman as we go through.
Yeah, we'll go through.
Okay, so
but I'm hearing yes.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so we'll put August 23rd on our.
You're doing it in August?
No,
July.
July 23rd.
Third weekend of July.
Yes.
Right.
On a Saturday.
The third Saturday of July.
July 23rd.
No.
I knew I wasn't.
Yeah, it says it on the our agenda. It says August 23rd.
I got one question for you guys.
Sure.
Don't lie.
You're number two.
But no, actually, it's the 18th because that's the third. But
the third Saturday.
The third Saturday.
Always the third Saturday.
Okay.
Right.
Third Saturday is the 18th.
I mean, we'll just today.
You can, you know, figure out the date. We're just saying, you know, okay. So whatever date it is, for a go in NIAC. Because now you have to spread the word.
Yes.
That's the easy part.
That you're right.
Right after the barbecue.
Mm-hmm. And the ones that we were saying, we think about having it at night, they were all for it. Mm-hmm. It was very, because it's...
You're bringing it back.
You're NIAC.
It's a NIAC board.
Where did you all come from? Just NIAC folk or...
No, there were people there from North Carolina, from California.
So there's NIAC people.
So we just have to go through, I guess, after we approve from the board, we just have to go through.
And then do your insurance stuff.
We got that already.
When you figure out the exact date, let him know, and then I guess Jim's going to help.
Yeah, we'll get it on the calendar. Mm-hmm. If you have our approval, let's move forward.
You know, if you guys have any questions, just
have cards in the other
room. Thank you very much for
being here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Just appreciate it. Okay.
Yes.
And the lawyer
can definitely come bring some.
Yeah. He says he never gets in my calendar. Eric, just so you know, he says he never gets invited to anything.
You're invited now. Thank you.
Jim, would you like to give your report to us? Or are you going to meet with us?
All right.
Yes.
That's thank you.
Good
night.
Good night.
Good
night.
Jim Wilcox, chairman of the Parks Commission. There was a request made to the village board that a group be allowed to purchase a memorial bench for a person used to skate park. Sadly, he passed away. He was only in his 20s this July. And so the Parks Commission has reviewed the request and were in favor of it with a couple of comments. So one of the questions we had is that there is a bench design that's been approved for other areas in the park. So we wanted to make sure that if the design was a little bit different, that it would be consistent with what's in the skate park area. And the second would just be that there was a location within the skate park where it would be appropriate. I met with a group, including some of the people here, and we found two locations that would be suitable. We're looking at a design. We don't have a final design. There were two or three that were submitted. One we thought was really more appropriate. It was in the shape of a skate park. And we're talking about the different materials that we thought would look more appropriate. The group's been really working hard to meet whatever requests we had. So the Parks Commission would like to recommend that the village approve this project, given, pending the outcome of the final design for approval.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys had wanted to say anything, but...
I just have a photo of...
Please, that would be great.
Yeah, just come up and give us your name so we get you on the official recording here.
My name is Andrea Paul. We were here
So this is, I don't have so I'm working with Nolan Monuments on Havistraw, and we've been going back and forth, and he said he can do the design and it would be similar, but of course he's never done anything like this before. So and I'm meeting with him I think next week with my friend's mother, the kid who passed. But this is what the skate park that is in Middletown. So, and it would be very similar to
like a skateboard.
So it's the shape of a skateboard, and then it has wheels, and then just something to put it to the ground.
Any questions from the board?
One other thing that I did want to mention is, you know, being on both the Conservancy, which it seems like there's a lot of activity around wanting to do memorial benches, it seems like right now, you know, there's the decisions for memorial benches are somewhat arbitrary. And so as we get more and more requests, we think that it might be a good idea for the Parks Commission to meet with maybe some of the village board members to talk about how many can we actually get in the
right.
You know, and have a determination of what we can put up in the memorial bench in the camp.
That's a good idea. Because it's going to get to a point where, you know, you'll get a lot of people that want to do it, and then it's you're going to run out of space.
And one of the things we really looked in, you know, the person was not a NIAC resident, but he contributed a lot to the community. And it's one of the things that the Parks Commission really looked into is that he was an active member of the community. He was at the skate park almost every day. He had a mentoring role with a lot of the younger skaters, and we felt that it was appropriate for him to be memorialized there. But going forward, those are the kinds of things I think they're going to have to come to the decision.
I mean, it sounds like you've got kind of a good informal thing, you know, criteria in mind, but I agree trying to have some sort of a formalized, it's probably better.
Yeah, because we will get, we're already getting requests. I owe you a phone call from another request.
We spoke with the father.
Yeah, that was this very upset man that just
had an idea in his head.
Yeah,
but we spoke
with him. I already spoke to him. But, you know,
we're going to help him some way else.
We told him in our town would be better, like, suited. The only reason that we're doing it at the skate park is because
of his commitment.
He was part of the family.
You spoke very eloquently about that the last time. Thank you.
Exactly.
So we had asked for the Parks Commission to come with a recommendation. They have. Does the board have any other questions before we consider this?
Just timing. What's your timing?
Like I said, I'm meeting with his name's Dan at Nolan Monuments, and it's going to take him at least 6 weeks to just...
So you're looking at the spring or the end of this, this year?
Most likely be the spring. I'm thinking just with the weather, it'd be difficult, I'd imagine.
And one of the things that I think we were asking is whether or not the DPW might be able to help with the installation, because as far as we can tell, they're dropping it, you know, at that area. So we need to find out a little bit more about what's involved in the installation and if possible, since it's pretty heavy, I think it's...
And that was going to be my next question. Once you get all the particulars finalized, then we can see how, you know, get your placement, because, Jim, you guys know where it would be best suited. And then we can try to... And I'm assuming at least be able to see what's necessary as far as digging and stuff like that. And then just time-wise see how that's done. We'll figure out that.
With the monument company, they would probably tell me the size of the footings that you'd need, all that kind of those, which we could do if you're going underground.
And Jim, when we're both in the park, I can show you the location.
Yes.
I think it'll work.
All right, great, Jim. Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And, Jim, thank you, too. And we'll... Is there do any two folks want to work with the Parks Commission? Parks Commission, represent. I don't know if I'll, you can. This is different.
Thank you.
Yeah, because I've gone around.
So, Marie, does anybody else want to, as we develop criteria and stuff for this? Elijah may be interested. Go to the restroom for a second. All right, we'll hold that off. Jim, do you want to start? Is there anybody else that had communications issues that wants to...
I want to ask a question, and I'm really in favor of the state young gentleman. I remember going back when about certain communities coming over here from the...
We're good.
They're going to say, how come we couldn't go down into a large group on the monuments? Remember the last time, I think even Bert Newcomb made a fuss. But the Boy Scouts did something over by that big tree. We entered from Fairmont Avenue.
Yep, and that's why the Parks Commission had...
What the park is called, Memorial, and it's for the veterans and stuff like that. But I'm all for this. The other kids are even this, but when you put this fence in, how many people that are actually this fence from up north are going to continue to use this? And this is for them to reflect that they don't use the park much longer, stuff like that, and nobody North Auckland's doing anything. We got to be careful. I mean, it's a good thing, but you might have a lot of people coming. If you turn them down, and they're from Nyack, or from Upper Nyack, or South Nyack, or whatever.
Thanks.
Boo.
Thanks, Drew.
Let us consider that.
Yep.
But Dr. Stonefish, do you need to take any action with regard to the park?
Well, I was going to ask for a vote to approve the project.
Oh, okay.
Or I was going to wait till...
Okay, gotcha. Sorry.
I know he's in favor of it, but I still would like him to be able to...
Yep.
Okay, Jim, you want to go ahead and we'll, as soon as the lodge comes back, we'll probably... when you're done with your subjects, we'll go back. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The mayor had asked that I put a list together of our current projects. So in preparing the document, you do have to understand that there's three documents that were built or put together, and those are our planning documents, comprehensive plan, the LWRP, and the bicycle, Nyack Bicycle and Pedestrian Master Plan, which is somewhat of a guide going forward, and you'll see how these projects actually fit into those plans as well. All right, so it's a step off from there. That's why it was the report was structured that way. So of the capital improvement plans, which are on page 3, I've tried to outline them, trying to be somewhat concise, because there are a couple of them are complex. But the first one that you'll see here is the water main replacement project, which you know is now underway and getting ready for release, most likely in the late fall. You'll see that go out to bid. Depending on the weather, obviously, that will maybe jump to a spring project. It's broken into three pieces, three parts. That first section is $10 million. The first phase that will go out is close to $3 million, maybe $2.5 million worth of work. And we'll have that list ready, that final list of roads, which we'll get up on the website so people know where it'll be. So that's quite a significant project, and if you look at it, it's 10% of their mains that are out there that'll get replaced at the end of the day. So,
and
that's just one.
Right, and these are all things that are inclusive of our budget.
I'll explain that as we go. Correct. All right, so if you take the water main replacement project, the $10 million, that's what they borrowed for.
Mm-hmm.
So the funding is there. The WIA grant that you approved, the application going back in, hoping to grab some of that, $1 million or $2 million that they were asking for, hopes to offset some of that $10 million. Right. So the Broadway Streetscape project is the second one. We know that it's going to be pushed into the spring of 2020. Again, a $3.3 million project. We own, as you know, a piece of that, about $500,000 to $600,000, which we went through that process, borrowed for, and is in place. As you know, we pushed it to the spring to hopefully get those leaders changed out that we're having on some of those projects, the buildings, and they are moving slow, but they're moving. We are starting to get at least design compliance. Construction actually hasn't started yet because they will be costly. Safe routes to school, that's the intersection work where we'll be looking at the pedestrian crossings and lighting. Oops, sorry. Safe routes to school, I take that back. Safe routes to school is a sidewalk project. Again, that's a $4.3 million project, ultimately a $5 million project with the match, and that's one thing that's being discussed within the board, how we'll offset that match. But that's a legal concept we're looking at right now to see if the special district discussion that was out there. So that's in his planning. We have the paperwork, and I believe we've received our contracts from the state, so we're ready to go on that. The PSAP, that is the intersections where we're going to upgrade the pedestrian crossing signalization with the LPI, ADA compliant ramps, high visibility markings, and pedestrians. And again, Main and Depew, Main and Broadway. I'm sorry, Broadway and Depew. Mm-hmm.
Broadway and Depew.
And then Main and Broadway, and then Fifth in North Midland.
Yeah,
there's a fourth one if we can get it in there. If we can, we have the funding, we may look at High in Midland.
And what's the timeline on this?
They're in design right now. We're getting ready to put that out.
So would actual shovels in the ground probably sometime next summer?
We may see that work start now in the fall.
Oh,
remember, it was a design build.
Yeah.
When we gave that to GPI,
okay,
they were designers,
right.
And they're
wonderful.
The installers.
Yeah.
And there's been coordination with the TAP project, with McLaren, to make sure that that works together, those two play together. In fact, you have to get that out of the way, at least on these two.
Yeah, great.
Out of the way.
Great.
Louise, that is all inclusive in that 375. Mm-hmm. There's no match to us.
Right.
So that's it. The footbridge is out to bid. I'm forgetting the date it's coming in, but it's supposed to be coming back in the next few weeks.
End of September, I believe it is.
Correct. We should see the bids coming back in for that.
And then they're going to, because we have to select, I mean, this has to be finished by 2020, by the end of the year, right?
Yeah, that's why it's out.
Is there enough time to
Yes, there
this?
Is.
Okay.
Yeah.
By the end of 2019?
Yes, ma'am. We'll have a break.
I mean...
That's my understanding. It's
yeah.
It's you know what? Once again, once you start the project,
it's a quick project to do.
Yeah, what you need the fall for is the two ends, right? Get all the concrete
in.
There's some piling work, but you can build that bridge as the weather, even as the snow falls.
Okay, fine.
Right, because that's a hand built bridge. It's not a drop in.
Okay.
All right. The waterfront pathway. Our walkway that goes along, that'll be the north extension of that bridge. That's a separate project. Again, that 401, we're staying within that budget, as the board has told us. We'll use that as best we can. The Depew Avenue project, sidewalk project, it came in actually very good. So we have a little bit more money. We may do a little more work over on Depew on those sidewalks. And he did get it open in time for school, of course. If anything, it would be on the north side. Keeping the south side, it's done. And that's really the main traffic flow for the foot traffic for the
many kids. People have mentioned it. Several people have mentioned that it's a great shot that we did and getting it done in time for school and all. They were really happy.
Yeah. So understand that contractor, Belleville, had that project. He also won the demo project, and he also won First Ave. So that's why he went to Depew first to get that out of the way. We know we needed to get the bridge or the building down, so we got. That's why he went there. Now from there, he'll end up on first.
Okay. Well,
get several complaints from people because it was done so quickly. There was some grass work that was not done, replant, reseeding grass. Mm-hmm. We've gone back and done all that and cleaned everything up. But there were some. I got several. Questions. They weren't really complaints. They were just questions. Is someone going to come and fix the grass? We had this break. Is someone going to fix it? But all of that has pretty much been taken care of. So.
Can I just so the with the money that's left over there from that project, is there any prospect of kind of? It's not enough to like build some sort of an actual path where people cut through that little triangle of green space right at the top of the street.
Well, we replaced the sidewalks out in the front
right.
to get you
right.
up to the street, to the proper corner.
Right.
You know what the
you know the one I mean that like that,
if you have an existing
like
sidewalk
path where the kids are clearly just like cutting down.
Right. If you have an existing sidewalk, the grade is acceptable.
Yeah.
But to build in there, you would build a grade. Because as soon as you build a sidewalk, you start to think of ADA compliance. You want to get them up to the corner. You really want to. In fact, if anything, you want to put a fence up to slow that traffic down, although they probably figure their way around it anyway. But
yes,
so you don't want to really tend to that.
Now, I'm sorry, Jim, just going back to the waterfront pathway, because I see that's a matching also.
There's a match in there, yeah.
Right. So, this here, is it time constraint for us to use the grant before?
Oh, yeah. There, the walkway, that's a brand new grant. So you're at least 5 years before you would have to complete that. That you have to complete that. They used to be 10, they're now 5, typically.
Okay, because
so you could hold off, depending on funding and how we're going to do that. Some of this work is ours inside of that, that we're going to be able to do in kind.
Okay.
So the cash outlay.
That's all the tide water, right?
No, well, that ultimately gets there.
Yes.
But exactly. It would be the piece maybe from the end of the bridge, on the north end of the footbridge, to Bird.
Got it.
And then the rest, well, then you go to sidewalk, and then you go into the project.
Right.
Okay, so you're saying probably 5 years.
That would be the time frame for that.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 years?
I believe it's 5 years.
That we have to use the grant by, only because it seems like it's such a
we
large...
We just got that, so...
In kind.
In kind is what
the matching. I mean, excuse me, the matching, but that's part of our in kind.
Right. A piece of it will be in kind.
Right.
A piece will be cash. Right. So the Depew Avenue sidewalks, we'll see what else we can do in there to finish that off.
And that money has to be used just for that, correct?
Yes. They're very hard to move them around. Even the CDBG is a huge undertaking to
try. It's almost a year to get the speed bump redone.
Yeah, that just took forever.
It was a year.
Just I'm just trying to think, what else would you be able to do? How much is left?
About 10,000. So you can do a little bit. We have one of the things with CD. If you
stay in the
census block, but if it's a continuation, you may be able to maybe drop down to the next block, even though that's not the census block, but it's connected to it. That's how you get away with a connection.
Got it. Mm-hmm.
That we have to go back and evaluate what we have and how we can use it.
Yeah.
Anything could is there any sidewalk work on Anna that could be done? Because that's got to be the same
sense that we could look at. That was the other thing I was going to bring up. There's a couple of inlet. You know, you may not be able to go too far, but at least clean up some of it. Yes, Anna was the
there
one.
Are some
look at some because really on one side, on the east side, I think it has no sidewalk.
It doesn't even have sidewalk. Right. There's some that are broken up. Let us. We'll evaluate
where we need
the best way
area.
To use the money. So it was nice.
Because you don't want them to think we don't need it.
Oh no, you can't. Don't turn the money back.
Right.
Yeah. Again, it's act of Congress to try
to
move the money around. Again, First Avenue. That'll be the south side. That's where we'll start on this. It's all concentrated on the south side between Franklin and Broadway.
Is that because the north side is a different tract, or just because
money? And a one-way to... The south side had the worst of the sidewalks, if you look at it. So that's where we concentrate.
Like race are great.
That's what I mean. So you really...
The south side, that is where it's...
That's where it's all broken up.
Did you ever... Speaking of First Avenue there, I know we had talked just that one... Like, right at the intersection with Jefferson, where there's that weird, like, 100-foot stretch where the road is just all broken up and potholed beyond... Anything around it is any progress or ability to.
We could probably still cut that out and repave in there.
Yeah, I mean it was because you looked at it and you kind of agreed, right?
Yeah, it's kind of like there's that little space. It's an odd. I don't know why it's broken up.
Everything else around there is in pretty good condition, and then there's like 100-foot spot that's all.
That was the cold mix that probably came in at the end of the paving that broke up. Shared use path. That's moving along. A little bit of a... We're waiting on that one. And the LED, the streetlight conversion, I gave you... Did you... Inside of your packet, I did do a little overview of where we were with the LED project, because you were asking about that. If you don't mind, let me jump to that. And the value, I did put a value on that, because it's kind of a wash at the end of the day. I can get the numbers for it, but it helps us long term. So...
Right, but again, there's a payout period. Right?
Yeah.
So that's the most important thing, Jim, is the payout period.
And I believe it's 18 months.
25 max.
Let me jump over to the LED project. so I can tell you where we are. One of the things that we've been going back and forth with was the 3,000, 4,000, and you know, we can't do the test area. ONR is not allowing us to do a test spot. However, I think the push from the industry, and you heard that from the folks that came here, residential 3,000, if you wanted 4,000 in the business district. However, when you want dark sky compliance, which we're going to be switching all our lights to, they come in at 3,000. They don't even make it at 4,000. They don't even make a 4,000 lumen fixture that with dark sky compliance. You can't get a 4,000. The highest is 3. You know the lumen, the strength of the light, the colorization of the light.
That wasn't what I was saying. Dark sky compliance. I mean, obviously, I know like what a dark sky would be, but like, is that a particular program? What does that mean?
Yes, that's right. You're not trying to throw any ambient light into the sky, right? So, in staying in your sustainability, which is Marcy had pushed as well, which I think is a very good program to go after.
And so that's, do we get something for that? I mean, I agree it's, we should do it. Oh. I'm not familiar
just
with the dark side.
Okay. That's what we're going to do.
That's what we're
going
to do.
Yeah, we're going to
do. If we do it, then are we eligible for grants, or it's just we get...
Yes, everything you do towards sustainability, all those, as Marcy always brings up, right, it's all points so that you go to the next grant. You can
but
show
we can't these. Get a grant specifically for those.
Not for
no,
those.
But we get doing... I'm just saying, doing this gets us something. It gets us points.
Correct.
I mean, I think we might want to do it anyway, but
it
I'm
also
just...
also saves us money.
Great. Yep.
Yeah, so the program, we're going to move forward with the 3,000 throughout. Because really, you're changing all the lights.
At 3,000, that's the lower lumens, so that's when people are complaining in other places that it's too bright and they can't sleep. And
right, that color level.
That layer
we hope
else.
We would not get those complaints from the 3,000.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be, did we ever find out, because I was curious, what was the lumens in downtown Haverstraw?
Oh, what did Mike tell us?
There were 300, I think.
There were 3,000.
Okay. 3,000.
Yeah.
There were 3,000, and they did have some 4,000 in their parking.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
They had some residential, and they're also residential.
I should probably add a clarification. 3,000 refers to the color temperature.
Color.
Yeah.
Correct.
3,000 Kelvin. 4,000. When you go up there, it's where it's a whiter,
right.
You know, light.
That's
and you're higher
thank
than
you.
That,
that's
it becomes very blue.
Yeah.
That's what people have the trouble.
Right.
But beyond the 3,000, when you're talking lumens, there's various levels of brightness of the lights within those temperatures, the color temperatures.
Correct.
And that would be determined more by the wattage of the light.
Right. So the project, that's...
Thanks.
Very ignorant way of my ignorance of it.
No, a lot of people don't know.
So, that's helpful. Thank you.
What the color temperature is.
Thank you.
So based on that, we should see a project finished up, unless there's a hang-up, and I don't think there's any hang-up with the state. Come February, March, we should be finished up with the project. So you'll
it's been
be
a long one.
Yeah, it's taking some time. All right. So from the projects, understand that, I mean, everything's relative. You have about $20 million worth of projects out there, ready to go. All of your infrastructure, a lot of it is based and is based on pedestrian walking. There's a lot of sidewalk work. Bicycle accessibility, so it's very helpful for the village as a walking tool. I mean, I guess if we were in New York City, it would be $20 billion, but here, $20 million, that's a lot of work in 3/4 of a square mile. So, you also asked me to do some department reports, recreation. You should have with you.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Unless you had.
I'm sorry. Only because I don't see that we had the LED included in the budget. How are we going to fund that if it's going to be done by?
How that works is you're not going to spend what you don't already spend on lights. It's the payback time.
But
the way you structure the financing, they finance it. They do the work. So the bill that you're paying, meaning
so
real term.
If our electric bill right now for all the street lights and the rental of the street is $5,000 a month, just to throw it out. When we put in the LED lights, if that bill becomes $3,500, the other $1,500 goes towards the financing of the fixtures.
And then once you've paid it off,
then we get that money back.
Because the electricity cost drops. So the payback, I think, is 18, I want to say it's two years to 18 months.
I thought it was about 2 years. But yeah. Does that make sense? So it's like if you get some of these projects that Orange and Rockland will come in and do an energy audit for you, and they'll tell you that you have to pay for it up front, but this one we don't have to.
Okay, that's my question.
Yeah,
so we don't pay for it up front.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Correct.
Real Term's the one that makes it.
Okay.
And they're obviously making some money off it. So.
Right. Okay.
But Real Term's the one that makes it.
Okay, so no money comes out.
Yeah, because the power difference is tremendous. And that's why the payback's so high.
Just costs less to operate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tremendous difference. So Recreation as a department head, she has a planning. They're getting ready for this weekend. It's a great night get-together, as you know. They're also organizing the hometown here. Well, they just had that. When she gave that to me. She's enrolling. The fall recreation classes are now enrolling. I think you see those flyers going out. Banner season's always fun. So it gets crazy. And then the summer food program was finished up. That went very well. Hats off to Leanne. She did pick up the ball and ran with it very well. So.
Can you speak a little loud, please?
I did hand out this map to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's from Hopper House. She's just giving you a schematic. This is pretty much where that bike rack would land. So you can see that out in the road. This is being Broadway. And this spot out here, it looks like a little big catch basin.
Yeah.
I guess that's my way, I think. That would be the area they would need. It's one space for the most part, a little over one space, which you have to talk to them about. Remember when they approached you. What's it, 25? I think they have it laid out as 25 feet. Standard parking space is 22. So they need the 25 feet. And they're... the date that will come in is in a, not too long off. The design, I think, is in October, end of October. So they put that out there so they can get it designed to you, because you know that's going to be the whole purpose of it, is to have it artistically designed. So I just wanted to at least have the map in front of you, and I'm giving this both to TAP for the TAP program and to Mike.
Did we actually, and I don't remember, actually see a design that they wanted?
They don't have it yet.
No.
It's a competition.
It, right?
No, it's a competition.
That's
for
the design. Gotcha. Okay.
Correct.
I knew there was
something.
So this map shows sort of not a bump out, but like a just straight out with right angles. Is that, I mean, that's...
And that's why I'm showing it to McLaren.
Okay.
So if we need that angled, would it be better to have
like
a little bit of an angle?
When you have bump outs, they curve in. They don't just shut right out.
Yeah.
But then I thought it was the thought that they weren't going to do it as a bump out, so I don't know.
Oh, no, that was their request. That was
the
original request. Because there's nothing to do. They don't have the land in the front to really, there's not a lot of space there to work.
Okay.
So that was their request. It was taking one space.
Isn't there a spot next to a handicapped spot?
No, we wouldn't take away
not a handicapped
spot. No. Next to that real estate company, that's 2 weeks ago, and this first came up, I took a look at that. And that is, there's a real estate company, a handicapped spot, and a spot after that. So his people want to come to the real estate company.
They've asked me to.
Instead of park. They take it away from it, and the road's too narrow with the buses coming through there. That's not a good idea. And it's not necessary.
Next
one.
Okay. There was the other, one other one I wanted to give you. Okay, Jim covered Parks and Rec. Everything that they've had to date coming up this summer, you've already heard from them, so I don't want to over-report that or reiterate that. So it was the memorial he wanted to talk to you about. The other was the Water Commission. You've asked me as well. In this format, as the mayor has asked me, to kind of break these out based on the board's request on these reports to get you up to speed. The Water Department, I went through there. I just spoke with the commissioner.
They only meet once a month, though, right?
What's that?
They only meet once a month, right?
The Water Department, yeah. So I took a couple of months just to kind of get you caught up. Their annual report went out. That's a requirement. Their testing is going well. They just finished up some of the mandated tests, those lead tests. Remember some years ago, there was that cycle of tests they had to do because they found some lead. So all that's cleaned up. Everything's been going clean with that. They have put a letter out, and I think you received it. And if you haven't, I'll give you another copy. is the letter about the rate increase. So you can see. If you don't have that, I'll get that to you. I apologize if you don't. You should have gotten that. Everybody should have gotten that.
Right. Yeah, I got it at home.
Yeah.
That's
So that went out. They did inform the folks.
I don't get it.
All right, I'll get it for you. I'll let you see that. They also updated, they upgraded their billing software as well as the clerk's office. They both did that at the same time. That'll increase, hopefully, their efficiency in billing going out. So that's been implemented. Kelvin does his report typically, and, you know, and that's, you know, they're going, right now they're in the middle of maintenance agreements and chemical procurement agreements, water testing requirements. He also reports on water breaks and leaks, which are throughout. And we usually hear that we've increase that interaction with Kelvin to get that information to everybody if there's a water break. H2M is actually reviewing bidding for removing sludge. That's about a $125,000 project they're doing. But that, again, is all internal. They have that worked out with their maintenance money. And also, Dan Massilio, as you know, is retiring. He's the deputy. Mm-hmm. So, or deputy superintendent of water. They went through the internal hiring process or review process who they had inside, and they've chosen Gilbert Francois. He's been there about 11 years. There were three candidates inside the department, and they chose Gilbert. So he'll replace Dan as he retires off, and they also picked up a new. So they had to backfill that operator spot because, remember, they're 24/7. So you have to have a number out there. And the fellow's name is Brian Wilson. I was going to make a joke. He's not writing music right now, so we picked him up. No.
He's voice, so now he's doing more.
Yeah, right.
And they really good hires, I think, on both of them, from the reports from the board, so they're doing well.
Okay, before you go off water, just
yes.
If we have not that rate increase with mm-hmm. our new website, I'm quite sure there's a spot for water.
Yes.
That can go in there.
Yeah, the letter that was out. We could put this was the letter that was put out.
Right.
If you'd like, we can put that letter on the. On the website.
This way, people can go on there and...
Yeah, just so they know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good idea.
He picked up parks. Other than that, I would just need an executive for collective bargaining agreement and potential
I'm sorry,
litigation.
I'm sorry, to hear you down there.
He needs an exec session for collective, for the CBA.
Oh.
So I need a motion for executive.
So moved.
All right. Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Are you done, Jim?
Yes.
Okay. We need to go back to the memorial bench and approve the project.
Okay.
So I'll make the motion to approve it. Second by Donna. Any other further discussion? We've had a lot. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. So if you, we obviously went through a different process here with reporting. If you remember that we were having a bunch of questions about stuff, so I thought this might structure it better. So if you didn't think it helped, please let us know. If you do think it helped, let us know, or we'll just keep going. You don't have to tell us if it's...
three choices.
Jim, I think the one thing that, I know this may put a little bit more pressure on timing, but... It might be nice if we got those reports to read before.
Yeah, I got the initial ones out. What I could pull together.
Yeah. I know you did.
And now I'll get on that cycle.
If we can get them out before, I think it helps all of us to be better prepared for the meeting.
Now, are we doing them
And
once
we wouldn't have to ask as many questions, probably.
Is it a once a month report meeting? Like the first meeting of the month or the second, or is it even?
There won't be a report probably on the LED project next. Parks and Recreations may be a lot shorter.
Okay.
So it'll just, we'll cycle in and out. If there are things that you want to hear about during that week, during the next meeting, let Jim know, and he'll make sure that they get put in.
Gotcha.
This is fantastic. So what I would just personally want to see is if, at our next meeting, if there's any change from what you laid out here, let us know. But assuming that there probably won't be, obviously you don't need to, I don't think, re-update us all these unless there's something different with the schedule or anything like that. From
like
what you
this
laid.
A good to this point.
Yeah. Right, it's a good start point. Now I can start to peel back.
Right. If the schedule got pushed out or there's something different.
Something significant that I need from you.
Please let us know, but otherwise it's right here.
All right.
This is great.
So The site, I'll get it rolling quicker, and you'll have it in your back.
First one.
Beforehand.
This is, Jim, really helpful, because when people ask me about some of this stuff, I don't need to give them every detail, but I need to be able to tell them who, what, when, where, why. Yeah. And just the basic info. This is really good. Thank you.
So, I'm done.
We're trying to move forward. We're also, one other thing that we're doing that I think we talked with you about, but after the board meetings, we have a management meeting. So we bring together all the department heads to talk about what happened at our meeting, and then talk about what information you may have asked for, or so that we're not just having a board meeting and then it goes into the ether. We have a board meeting, then we follow up with staff. Jim calls the meeting, we meet, we talk about the meeting, they give us feedback about different projects that are going on that then we can put into reports to you. And I don't know if you've noticed that I've been sending out a little bit more information, because those meetings give me information. We didn't have any, obviously. We only had one in August and one in July, but now that we're having two, we'll have a little bit more of a management process. And that's helping us think about, it will give us some better thinking about what kind of structure we want to see as we move forward, which we keep talking about. But we're trying to experiment, look, see how it works, and then move forward with responsibilities. So,
great.
Just so you all know, we're continuing to work on that, and we'll report back on it as we move along. And when we need to make any decisions about those, about changes in structures, or changes in processes, we'll come and ask you for it. Okay, and feel free to ask any question anytime about what we're doing there. Can we move to communications? Are we good?
You didn't do Jen.
What about housing?
You didn't do Jen.
You didn't know Jen. Sorry, Jen. Yes, because I asked you to come prepared. Sorry.
So.
That's almost like calling the American Legion of Veterans they're all members of both things. So.
Yeah.
So Louise and Marie and I met and went over the financials. We kind of did it like we do budget. We went over what the budgeted numbers were, where we're at currently, what some of the deviations have been, and what we should keep an eye on. I really liked it. Louise pointed out a lot of great things that I had to go back and double check, and some things that were classified wrong that she caught, which I really appreciated.
And excuse me, Jim, this is the updated.
That is the updated.
Thank you.
Yep. So we went over, all the lines individually, what to look at. One of the things that Louise had mentioned was the rental of the senior center, and it's low. So we had one group that left, the church group that no longer uses it, and then we have the DMV that's using it that isn't paying, even though we've sent invoices. So we've reached out to them. He promised to start paying, so we're looking forward to that. And one of the things that was mentioned also was that the revenue that we're getting from the senior center is not matching up to the expense that we're paying out to maintain it. And a lot of that might fall on the regular users, because there's really not other users. So we might have to look at changing the fees that the regular people are using. So that's something to consider. I did put in, after the financials, a sample of a senior center usage request form. It looks just like the Memorial Park one. Mm-hmm. But I added some fees into it, and it's not for the regular people, because I think you guys would have to discuss that as a board to determine if those fees should be raised. But it does add in fees for general people to use it. We've had a couple people that came in and asked for using it for, there's one in communications today for a potluck dinner. There was a baby shower that wanted to use it. So there are a few people. You guys have mentioned it before. So I put in my suggestion, which obviously you don't have to go with, but residents and village-based businesses have no charge. And then non-residents and non-village-based groups would be $50 per hour. Since I've been here, no non-residents have ever requested to use it. So, I don't know how much the fee matters so much. But I did put in a $150 refundable deposit just in case. And we've been starting to do that informally now anyway, but this kind of solidifies it. So that's in there for your review if you want to take a look at that.
Can I ask you a quick question on the DMV piece? So they've been using it. You've been sending them invoices that haven't been paying. He said he's going to start paying. Are you going to be asking for back payment?
We are.
As well?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, and I sent him those invoices as well, and I don't know if he's never paid or he just didn't know, but he's like, wow, I didn't know it was that much. He's like, I'm going to have to make payments on this. And I said, all right, as long as you're trying and we're getting money, that's all that matters right now. So
he knew. We discussed it. So he's playing.
Yeah, and we definitely discussed it in, like, February.
Well, that's how we got the numbers,
pay,
remember? Yeah.
And then he didn't pay.
Yeah, we
so
back
we'll
to
keep
the
up on him this time.
Yeah.
You know how long the Dorothy knows it? Can I just say that?
We've got department reports,
right.
You can make
yeah.
some comments
we
later.
Yeah, so the groups that use it right now that you might want to discuss on raising the fees is DMV, which is paying $225 a month, and they're using it two nights a week. The NA One Block Over group uses it on Sunday mornings. I think it's Sunday mornings. And they pay $15 a month. And then the Meals on Wheels group uses it Monday through Friday from 9 until 3, and they pay $400 a month.
Oh, my gosh.
So
There's something
wrong
there.
$15
a month.
Drew,
do you have a comment on that, just please?
I'm going to
say,
because I'm going to tell you
something.
That's why I'm asking you. I'm trying to tell you, because I'm the one, I don't know why, I used to talk to the clerk, Mary White. Why was Dorothy Owens head of the housing authority and retired, was living, happened to be living at the Fremont with me, and... what's the mayor? Four mayors ago, it was the mayor.
What's John name? Shields.
Shields. He told Dorothy Owens, was in a wheelchair, so I would go over there, lock up the doors. Why we were involved, I don't know. But Meals on Wheels, many, many years, $250, and I kept on telling every board that sat here, you talk to Mary White, Jim White, you got to start. That doesn't match the Orange and Rockland bill, $800. I'm not that, just recently, me and Bert Hughes and Peter Bannon, we just went through our pile of notes. You ever see the Orange and Rockland bills, cutting trees and all that? What they would do is they would transfer money, the villagers would transfer money over into the bank account. Dorothy owns the bank. But she started to drink too much, we had to get taken away.
Drew, the issue is that we need to make sure that the things match.
I'm just saying,
We got you.
The thing is, we don't
want a 15-minute comment of this.
Because DWI was paying $250 for the longest time, and we were collecting the money. We would get the checks. I would deposit the checks, and we talked to the mayor, why are two outsiders handling your business? That's what I'm trying to tell you.
They've been
posing the village and the taxpayers here for many, many years.
Okay.
Because nobody would boost up the rent.
Okay.
It does serve our community. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember where you were?
So I think that just on the finance stuff, I think that we pinpointed some things to keep an eye on and some things that we're doing really great on. And I think as we meet, we'll continue to make sure we're headed in the right direction. I think we're only 3 months in, so it's a little early to say we're definitely not making budget on this, or we definitely are making budget, but we know where we're looking and trying to track.
And I also just suggested that, you know, these groups that use it all the time, we should have some kind of formal contract that we have on file. This way, like when this one who hasn't paid, you know, we could say, look, part of the contract, if you don't do it, you can't have it here, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
So I don't know what type of form that would be, Walter. And then, you know, just get back to, you know, especially these two groups. They got to come and get the key. They can't have a key. One group does, and one group has a key. So we got to get those keys back. And then, you know, this way we can better monitor it. To make sure that, you know, but I think we should really have some kind of formal contract on file, just so that we wouldn't want anybody to think that we don't know who's in there, what's going on, and then, you know, you don't want to
have to fight anybody over something. Say, look, this is the contract that you signed. This is what you agreed upon. We're going to get the check on X day. You know, you're going to send out payment X day of the month. And, you know, we'll work with you, but we can't have where it's months.
It
that we got to chase you
yeah.
for money.
You don't have to chase anybody. I think that's a good idea.
Okay.
So that was just a couple of things.
Reed, did you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
And
so
then I asked them, thank you for your patience in going through it all. It's good.
So this is sort of part of the new process of just having a couple people assigned to different things. And Donna's also been working with Walter and Jim on the housing stuff, too. So that's been her.
Yeah,
and she pulls me in when she needs me.
I do have one more thing. The Animal Rights Alliance, we were working with them to do cat spay and neuter program. I think they had requested a while back, and it was good. Their grant ran out, so there's no more. We can't do it anymore. They don't have the money for it. So their grant has been fulfilled. So they sent over a proposal that's in your binders to continue the program. They said that other communities do like a 50% So it would be, I think they charge $50 to do it, and then we would, their suggestion is that we would pay $25 and the people would pay $25. There's not a huge, it is in department reports, it's the last page.
Yeah. It's behind.
Got it.
So it'd be $25 from us, $25 from the resident, it's only residents. And we probably get, I don't know, a handful, 5 or 10 a month. And it's mostly feral cats, so it kind of benefits the community if there's not feral cats around. You can get a kitten and come get the certificate as well, so it's personal use as well. But most of the ones we've been seeing have been feral cats. So this was their proposal. And
so how does it work now? We have like a clinic that we do. They come with a...
They can either come here and do it, like the mobile unit, but you have to have a minimum of 40 cats. So what they've been doing is they come to us, they get a certificate, we give them the certificate, they give us, the resident gives us the money, they take the certificate, I think they go to High Tour to do it, they do it, and then this animal rights people send us a bill and say, pay $25 for this person, or $50, whatever it is. So it's been working the way the grant has been working, and we had two requests this week, and the program ended, so we got some disappointed people, but
there's a lot less feral cats around, you know, running around, I have to say. And one of the people that had that spearheaded that was the lawyer that's on Hudson. What's his name? He was part of the project with
the architect.
My gosh, he opened up the trunk. I mean, he has this whole thing going on,
yeah.
But a lot, he took care of a lot of them.
Yeah, and there's one lady that comes in, I don't know her name, but she comes in and she'll get 5 certificates at a time, and she'll go and trap the cats in the neighborhood and bring them in, and, you know.
So what would we anticipate the expense of that for a year?
It would be $25 per cat, and over past, I think we've been doing it 4 or 6 months, and we've done maybe 20 or 30 of them. So it's not a huge expense, and like I said, it's mostly feral cats at this point.
How are people getting the, I mean, because aren't feral cats sometimes kind of dangerous to grab? Like, how are they bringing
They do live traps.
They're trapped.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is this just like Good Samaritans doing this, or is there like working on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Dryden, I'm telling you, he has
probably seen
open.
That.
Yeah, people get very passionate about it.
He orders from Chewy or whatever.
Yeah, yep, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
he has this whole thing going on. I'm telling you, he would have.
He wanted to rent
bowls and bowls
laid
out there on Hudson.
A trailer,
yeah,
and put it on the property where the TZ Vista is supposedly going to be built at some point before we all die. and have them come and do feral cats there for a month.
To do the
spaying.
Oh, like entice them there.
They would
take the neuter.
Right.
The mobile thing.
Wow. Okay.
So he actually would
He's been doing it. He's got a whole setup, very organized.
He's doing it too.
We're doing it right now. These are my
very involved in that.
Those are Jim's feral cats.
In my garage. We're doing it right now. We're working with Tara.
Oh, wow.
There's three little kittens in our garage. So it is worthwhile.
We're looking at about maybe $500 a year.
Probably. And we might be able to work with them and limit it and say we'll do X amount of certificates per year.
Right. Yeah, we'll do 250 a year.
Yeah, something like that.
See how that goes. What do you think? Should we do it?
I
think we could do that.
For the community, I think it would be greater.
All right. We don't need a resolution on that, right? That comes just. All right.
Walter,
yeah.
Spending money.
Uh-huh. We need a resolution.
We need a resolution.
Okay.
Oh, we have a minimum.
We are setting aside $250 a year for spaying and neutering.
Got it.
Yeah.
That can have his own budget.
That's my motion.
And I.
No, that's my motion.
I second.
We got a second. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Oh, excuse me.
Thanks for spending. Now that our treasurer just actually asked us to spend.
I can't believe
it.
No.
That's the last time he was here.
She wants to go home. Anything else?
That's all. Tonight in the car. Okay,
so communications. We have a request from the nursery school in Niagara to host the Fall Pumpkin Patch fundraiser.
Right, they had brought this, and
we don't do fundraisers, do we?
We were waiting for you to come back, Walter.
What?
Fundraisers at gazebo.
I mean, these are open public forums. What you got to remember is, if you let someone come and do it, then you're going to let
everybody. Right.
So, could you notify them that we don't have fundraisers in our parks?
Okay.
Request from Peter Costa to use the Memorial Park. That would probably be a no. I've already talked with him. I'm marrying him and his fiance on September 26th at the Seaport. So I don't know why you're asking for it. So let's notify them as a no. Linda Belnick for a refund of $450 for overpayment.
Now she's up to $7.
We did look at that before at the last meeting, but she had her assemblyman from New Jersey call me, and I spent like 45 minutes on the phone with him, and he made me promise I would put it back on the agenda. She was supposed to come tonight. She did not come. But she felt that it should be reconsidered.
It's up to $7 now.
Yeah.
It's up to $7 now, Walter.
I'll cover the other $2.50.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just put it in an envelope and get rid of it.
Yeah.
Will you please?
I know. Thank you.
Yeah, it's recorded.
Yeah.
Okay, the other.
So we covered the Memorial Park. Request for the Montessori Center of Nyack to close Fifth Avenue from Marion to North Broadway from 8:30 to 2:30 on October 4th.
Do it every year. It's an easy one.
Yeah.
Right. From a logistical standpoint.
Resolution for that for the next meeting. Will that give them enough time? We're going to tell them we're going to do it. We'll just pass the resolution.
Right. Okay.
And then a request from the Nye Community Garden to have a public dinner at the Senior Center on October 17th.
I said give it to them. No, I'm kidding. Well,
sure.
I'm not kidding. I'm part of it.
Well, you have to recuse yourself.
I am. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah,
that's
why. I was a judge.
Yeah, I don't mind. They do that.
Okay.
No, we keep it clean.
Do we have
clean up after?
Are we going to take a deposit from them?
What were we just talking about, trying to get people? Oh, no, because we said no, it's free.
Right.
Yeah, fine.
Because they're part of the
community.
You have to know the nine to do it. Yep.
All right, so we're yes on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? Yes?
Yes.
We're yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
New business. Walter, could you walk us through this one? I could try, but I might get it wrong.
So
it's the pilot agreement for the Pine Street Homes. So we have...
I don't have anything either.
No, there's nothing. There's not a pilot agreement whether we want to do this or not.
There is no pilot agreement. John Shields wrote a letter saying he'd do one.
No, John Shields wrote a letter and the board passed a resolution during John's tenure that said that they would not charge taxes for the Pine Street Homes developed. There was never a pilot drawn up.
Mm-mm.
They still pay taxes to the town of Clarkstown and to the county. We are the only ones that they don't pay, that they say they don't have to pay taxes to. We sent them a bill. It was misinterpreted that we were trying to take away their tax exempt status for the entire housing authority. We worked with them on that. But now we have this issue outstanding of can we actually give a tax exempt status without a pilot agreement?
You need a written agreement. Mm-hmm.
And, if memory serves me correctly, and it's a little sketchy, it was in the beginning process of it when they were first building them. It wasn't for the entire mm-hmm. lifetime of those apartments.
Typically, a pilot agreement would have
for a few years,
right?
A number of
right.
years attached. Mm-hmm.
So by now, they should be paying taxes on that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nothing formally, it was just a conversation?
No, there is a resolution.
It's a resolution.
But it doesn't have any time restraints in it.
There's
nothing, no, it just says.
No, it was, and I.
We found that, right?
Yeah, the resolution actually says they would support it.
Yeah, it doesn't, it doesn't say that they granted it.
Yeah, they said they
support
it.
That means that they would support a pilot. When you want a pilot agreement, you got to go to everybody. You got to go to the
school. Right, because that's what it was. You had to go to the
school.
Right.
We just have
you had to go to the school. You had to go to the county.
Taxes, I guess.
You had to go everywhere.
So,
and we, right.
If everyone could just think this through, this is a sort of a complicated issue, so just think it through. I've been in conversations with the housing authority about it. They know that we're thinking it through and what's the best way forward. But just think about it. If you have questions, specific questions, go to Walter or to Jennifer about it. There is an outstanding tax bill that they have.
Is just one that's outstanding now?
That's what I was going to say.
No, it's just one because we had never, well.
It's always just one. The last one got re-levied to the town. So we only have one ever.
For Highview Court, those buildings there, what are those all taxed exempt or not?
Sorry to say this.
So the rest of, so
yes,
we're talking
that's
about,
all taxed
Highview
exempt.
Court is all taxed exempt.
That's yeah. part of that's so, the housing authority.
Right. And Pine is not.
It's
no.
not.
That's
project.
Yeah.
It's a separate project under separate funding.
But it, yeah.
The way it's organized, if I think I understand the way it's organized, it's actually a separate corporation.
Okay.
Correct.
That
they have this separate board and everything.
So why did the housing authority think we were taxing them?
Because they're saying
because they are the ones that run it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they're the ones that run it.
They hired Tony to run Pine Street Home.
Okay.
And there was some question about the how the bill went. It was sent to an address, but it was for the Pine Street Homes, and there was a misinterpretation of that. That's how the first thing got a little screwy.
Maybe we should look at some of our other pilot agreements, like, say, for the project Jerry Levy just built on Main Street, and you can consider doing something between the village and them for that number of years, but I would think it would go back to when this thing was built.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that they, at this point, if it was the intent, you're saying, was to cover them while they got up and running, and that was 15 years ago or longer. I mean,
and again, you know, like Walter said, when it was brought to us and we proposed that, they were supposed to go to everyone else
and do a pilot agreement.
Okay.
So I will meet with the board chair and just talk this through with her. I told her I would bring it up tonight. So I'll go back and talk it through with her, and then we may have to get attorneys talking back and forth to kind of work through what the options are for us and where we can go. Okay, so I will have that discussion, and then we'll
time to go.
Yeah.
Plus Marie to bed.
Drew or Alan, do you have any other public comment?
Yeah, the thing is, you're talking to a chairperson. Who's going a chairperson of the housing of the board of the housing authority, who has 2 months' experience. not experienced. She wasn't born back in 1962, and that was, and all that was built. So they would not have the paperwork. There's no documents. You don't even have the minutes of those meetings here in this building, in this room. You have no minutes to go by. She has no authority over the rest of the board. She's a chairperson.
She would obviously have to bring any decisions to the board. That would be my expectation.
Right, but you should be talking to the board like Ginny White used to do, and you'd be, more, you'd be safer that way. Because somebody with 2 months' experience in this kind of work or housing has no experience, wouldn't know what went on. You could talk to her to your blue in the face, but she has no facts, no paper trail, nothing.
Thank you for your opinion.
We're going to have to go way back to Dirk Hughes. Dirk Hughes
and I've had those discussions already with him. So.
Well, it's their baby, actually.
And with Judy and with the other folks that were involved in that. Thank you. Updates? Oh, Alan, did you have something?
Yeah, just maybe one brief comment, you know, and that is, you know, tying in with the sidewalk and property maintenance. You know, the sidewalk immediately to the west of the El Cañuelo Deli, you know, basically just right there.
Yeah, it's just a mess.
Midland Avenue and, you know, on Main Street and on the south side of Main.
Yeah.
The sidewalk there is in very poor shape. I believe it's 237 and probably 239.
It's also only like 6 inches wide.
And, yeah, that's a whole other thing.
It's ridiculous.
At one point, when you get beyond that real rough point, I'm talking when the sidewalk is rough, the aggregate is literally, some of the aggregates just stick up straight, literally from the what was the pavement. So somebody walking on it with a thin-soled shoe, I think it could be at, you know, danger, obviously, that going through the footwear.
So it's west of
it's
the
west
where the reliable meat market is.
On the south side of Main Street.
All right, we'll have someone go up and look at that. I think we've done that before.
Yeah, and I think it's part of the
one of the things.
I was just, yeah, I mean, because I think I mentioned that at one point a couple months ago. There's only, I think the owners of those properties would have to sort of redo their stairs because yep. there's just the stairs come to within like almost literally I think 6 inches of the road. I think they should redo them because it's completely unsafe and it's a very highly trafficked area. But
that was the other thing so we'll have mentioned because now that the other apartments going in, particularly we have the Nyack Point, and then ultimately. You know, as soon as that gets built, the gateway lost up at the top of here, we probably will get more pedestrian traffic.
Yeah.
And just as Elijah points out, when you get beyond that really rough, dangerous part of the sidewalk between in front of those two homes, we have another problem, just as Elijah was saying, that the stairs literally come right down almost to the road. Maybe you've got about that much room, so it's not even enough, you know, to walk on.
So if I remember correctly, and I may not, when Elijah brought this up the last time, we were kind of waiting on what was going to happen with that two projects up there,
yeah.
And then try to do the whole thing. But maybe that's not. Maybe we need to be able to look at it and get it discussed.
Well, was that? Well, here's a question: is that the same census tract as Depew? Probably is.
It's also in, I believe it's inside of the big grant as well.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that there's about three, I mean, the area that is in the worst shape is basically just in front of those three small houses between El Cunhao and the Haitian church.
So right. let's look at that and see if it fits in the track,
we
and then we'll bring it back.
And let it be?
No, it's in bad shape.
But no, but at least until something is done.
It needs to be wide.
And it needs to be wide.
So let us look and see if it's on the track, what we need to do to get it done, and we'll also send someone up there just to look at the... Because, I mean, the way these things go, if the sidewalks are supposed to be paid for by the homeowners, so...
Well, then but I guess in the building department's position has seemed to be they won't cite anybody for that.
Well, they don't cite anybody unless they get a complaint.
Yeah, they have.
Okay, well, I've complained.
Go ahead, Elijah.
I'll keep trying.
As I say, my big concern is people get on and off the buses there. Mm-hmm.
You're right.
We have kids walking to school, and then obviously the people from the apartments. And I said, between the...
Okay, well, let's... let's look at it. Drew, did you?
I was just going to say the sidewalk thing is important, but if you were just living in Nyack now in that building, and that road, that sidewalk was built before you were born by the village taxpayers, why is it your baby to fix it? Because no
that's
other village does that.
Joe, oh, yes, they do.
It's very common. Doesn't do it.
I don't know about Suffolk, but it's very common all over the state. It's very common all over the state. It's a pretty standard way to
do things. Why would it be something that was built in 1942?
You know, because when you buy the house, you
assume that somebody now just
when you buy the house, you assume certain responsibilities.
When you buy that piece of property.
When you buy the house,
you buy the house.
Whoever, somebody owns it.
Okay, so any comments from the village trustees?
I only have, and I really should have mentioned it when you were doing yours, because people have come to me, you know when you come up Deep Hill from the park?
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible for us to take that one parking spot away? Because when you're coming up, and if someone's trying to make the left to go down Deep Hill, and you got the light.
By the clock shop.
Right by the clock shop. You know, when you're coming up, you're basically
there's not enough room. You're right about that.
So people have asked me about that, and I really meant to mention it like 2 months ago.
Well, that should probably be something that we do a traffic study on.
Right, and that's why I said I should have mentioned it during when Jim was doing his report, so that we can look at it.
We would need some sort of traffic study there to
because as you come up that as you come up, if you get the light. It's not enough room to like move over and
yeah.
If you have an oversized vehicle.
That is really tight.
Mm-hmm. It was kind of kind of caught me the other day, and I'm like.
Because I'm usually there, and I'm like, are they going to hit me? You're right about that. So thank you.
Okay,
for
bringing that up. Any other comments? That open space thing? Do you want to wait until it'll be passed?
A little more, yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think it's. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I think we should support it.
We should.
That the county used to have a program to buy open space, and there's less and less open space, and so I think we do need to. I think it's a worthwhile thing to support at the county level. People have asked, I was talking to somebody recently about open space, and it was like, the village, we don't have the funds to do anything like that. We don't really have that much open space at all, so I think it's nice to have the county.
Well, what I was thinking, it could be used, if we're looking at negotiating something with the condos to take over that pier, and it needs to be rebuilt, and it's an open space issue.
I think
it's just something that... We may it's not guaranteed, but at least we go on record as saying
that we support it.
Right.
All right, so we'll I'll put together a letter and send it to my good friend.
Unless they have a letter,
you're good for it.
Yeah. Anything else? I've just got two other things that are very quick. They're just announcements. Is there anybody else?
I just want to mention a couple of things. On Hudson. Which is when you come up on the side of the post office by the plaza, by where they're working, it's extremely dirty there. I know that the workmen are there, what's going on, but it is filthy. And also there's grass growing in between the sidewalks. I mean, it really is not very pleasant. Also, I've noticed there's a lot of darkness in the village. There are a lot of lights out. It's Franklin, it's D2. I mean, I can, go around and name them, but, for someone that, I like, I'm walking or other people walking, it just is not safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's too dark,
can
there's too many lights. I'm sorry.
Quite a few.
No, I was just, can we get one of the parking authority guys to walk around it after dark and just raise through the lights? We've done that before.
Yeah,
what about the guy who goes what's his name? I forget his name.
Ron?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've noticed the same thing about a lot of the street lights out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did it up through Christmas time before, I knew Nyack had, gone on full board with the LED conversion project. I called the numbers in or actually went online.
Mm-hmm.
You got to give them the 10-digit
right.
Yellow
tags
on the thing.
Oh, well, I can't.
Some of those yellow tags are missing on the utility poles. Like up near the hospital. There's one I've wanted to report. You can't report it because there's
don't
no
they
tag.
Have the metal ones?
Plus, well, the question I'm getting to, really quickly here is, will Law and Order continue to service those until we change out the lights on the
home? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they will. They're required to.
So in which case, then, if you see one of these lights out, where there are these, as I said, the 10 yellow digits that are stamped onto the pole, write those down. Go on to the ONR website and look up under.
We have a community service person that we can work with directly on that. So yeah. What we've done in the past is had one of our employees that does parking enforcement go around, get things, and then we go right to
that. Well, that's better, yeah, because I was going to say, otherwise, the individual residents can do it,
right.
But they don't have
to. We sort of told people that, and we got a lot of feedback about it. It's very confusing. It's really hard to do.
Exactly. It's much better if you guys,
Okay, two other very quick things. 48 Piermont Avenue, which is my neighbor's. So I have spoken to the building department regarding them, and water being let out, it drained from their basement onto the street and down the side of the road, and it's just stagnant water. What I went to look at, they have a storm drain that's right in like that little alley where they house like just metal things, and that storm drain is filled to capacity. So it's just a lot of probably debris that's been in there for a long time. So it's really, the water is really up to the grate.
All right. 48 Piermont? Or?
Correct, 48. I'm sorry, Franklin.
I don't know why
I'm saying that. That's what I was going to say. That's on. Franklin.
Okay,
yes,
the catch basin needs to be cleaned.
Yes, it's just really at its capacity. And so I'm talking to them because there's other things that seem like violations or something that's going on there. Because they're working and all the stuff is coming on to our property as well, but that's another thing. But that water is very concerned about.
I know where you are. Yep. Yeah.
Where they're built.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is just still a lot of need and a lot of people just all the time asking about housing and stuff like that. You're just off the hook. But just doing my best, to guide them for applications or whatever they need to do. Tony's been more open in the communication when things are available and alerting me about that. That's all I have right now.
Great.
Marie, Elijah? Can I ask you a question? Have we heard anything about when they'll be complete with the
sewer? The pipes over at DQ Metro.
Have you guys discussed that?
I'll answer your question. I'll be dead by the time they finish.
Well, they prolonged it to another month.
No, there's a law, I know Walter can tell you, there's a law about labor. People that used to do labor work, they got to be legit.
Well, what I'm asking you was, what's the ETA that they gave you?
I'll tell you. They got two people working, they should have six. I think my personal opinion.
That's not my question. What was the ETA that they gave the board?
I said when I'm dead, because it keeps.
That's not what they gave.
Well, what I heard.
Thank you, Don.
Why do you got to be disrespectful to me?
Because I asked you a specific question, and I'm quite sure that's not what they told you.
For extra workers, and it went down to the 20th. Now it's 20th.
We have two other things.
Now it's next month.
On September 26th, I think that's a Sunday. The NAACP youth, whatever they call themselves, bureau or committee. They are having a service at the Nyack High School, and I'm being honored as So if you would like,
what is that?
I think it's the 20th.
It has to. Well, I'm not going to be around.
No, it's not the 26th.
It's a Thursday.
Right.
And the 26th is our best board.
It's the 22nd. It's the 22nd.
Okay.
Yeah, the NAACP Youth Council. That's what it is. It's 6 o'clock at Nyack High School. And then when's the Complete Streets meeting?
That's the thing here at the hospitality, right?
Yes.
That's the 26th, 9 in the morning.
So at 9 o'clock,
there's
a Complete Streets workshop, and it's going to be at the RCC Culinary.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to.
Opening, by the way?
If you'd like to attend, don't get me off track. I'll never get back on. If you'd like to attend, please let Anne-Marie Tilstey know, and she will RSVP for you, or you can
and
RSVP.
And that's on the
26th
at 9 o'clock. And it's all, it's Upper Nyack, South Nyack, and Nyack.
And did they give a time frame on that,
yeah,
John?
Yeah, there's a...
As far as?
The schedule for the day.
I have it.
Do you?
Yeah, I got it today.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Only because I'm just trying to arrange to be off.
Me too.
And
that's
you
it, yeah.
are the 22nd?
22nd at 6 at the high school.
All right.
And that's it. I would entertain a motion to move to the exec session.
So, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you.
Well, I want to thank everybody here on the board and the mayor, you know, for a good meeting and the amount of effort and dedication you continue to put into the village.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate your comments. That's very nice of you.
I think boards coming together in Nyack now, and the word administration that I've come across, we've seen the management and the organization. Your skills definitely are evident.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron. Very nice. You
got a lot of time to do this stuff.
I know. Yeah, I'll do that in the morning, I think.
And we appreciate your service.
See, that's going in here now.
Well, both you
I'll have these in the morning.
Do you need me to do
it? Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
Just trying to pack up quickly.
I know. Drive safely, Bill.
Very suitable.
Yeah, be careful.
Don't be. No more than normal.
Just put the book, listen to a book, the book on
page. Yes, I have one I just got in the other day.
I know, it's already coming.
Back on track.
Over the end of October. The school's over.
Yeah, I know.
You're talking about the...
But no, you said one is that you tried to get him involved, sorry, one that was done, and all he had to say was...